Do you mind if I continue?
It's all right with me, but let's get going.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Massive storm is headed towards Nova Scotia on Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. It's going to bring up to 20 plus centimeters of snow. Then it's going to change over to rain. Winds will be real strong as well. People in Nova Scotia, be prepared. Have your winter boots ready, have your winter jackets ready. Hats and gloves and scarves and ski pants is ready. Order your pizzas and order your Chinese food. Buy cases of Pepsi, buy cases of Coke. Do your grocery shopping. Don't wait till the last minute. Do it right now.
And now.
Have your iPads charged. Have your iPods charged. Have your cell phones charged. Have your laptops charged. Have your tablets charged. Have your 3G, 4G ready. When you're driving the car, take your time, drive the car. Slow down so you don't get in a car accident.
Our feature presentation.
Wait, we have to order our pizza now?
Yes.
But because the storm is coming. Yes, that's right.
It's a big, big storm.
But we have to order pizza now.
Yes.
What I'm saying. Okay. I wasn't aware. Okay.
They're not going to be able to deliver it when there's 20 inches of snow out on the ground this afternoon when you're hungry.
Right. I get that.
So you get it ahead of time.
Okay. All right.
It just makes sense. Frankie McDonald makes sense, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, Lisa's not joking around. This is, forget the storm of the century, maybe storm of all time if it unfolds the way it potentially might. I mean, they're talking about 30 inches of snow.
Jeez, can you imagine?
Where, in New York?
All the way up to Nova Scotia, down to New York, yeah, and through Boston, New England, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, all those places, yeah.
Canceled tons of flights.
Over 3,000 flights so far already been canceled. It's going to screw up a lot of people all over the country, all over the world. People who are trying to get to, you know, or have to stop, you know, on their way to Europe, they stop in New York or whatever. Those people are hosed. So it's a big deal. So I'm glad we got Frankie out there.
Charge our iPods.
Warning us.
Charge our iPads.
That's right.
Get our boots. I forget what else he said because it went by so fast.
I know. He's got a lot of good information. A lot of good information there. And get your cases of Coke and your cases
right.
of Pepsi.
Right.
And I'm not sure who mentioned he usually advises also green tea.
Oh, I didn't hear that, no.
And white tea and red tea.
Yeah,
there's all sorts
right.
of heads of teas that he tries to get us to get.
Okay.
So you got to stay pretty prepared, man.
I guess so. Are any of us that prepared?
No.
No. Frankie wants us to be.
No.
He'd be so disappointed.
Yes, he would.
If they came to him and said, look, Frankie, you're doing the Lord's work, but look at what these people are doing.
Yes. Very few people really do take Frankie's advice to heart, and they should. I'm glad he's out there, because there's no other way to get weather.
That's true. That's
he's
it.
He's the source. Hey, let me tell you about this before we move on, because we do have an outstanding Kevin Bean show today. This is a great imagine if it were you situation. I love this. This is in Rochester, New York, where they may be getting a lot of snow today. A lady goes through, her name is Janelle Jones. She lives there in Rochester. She goes through the drive-thru at the Burger King on Friday.
Okay.
And she orders a sweet tea and a junior spicy chicken sandwich. That's not what's in the bag, though, when they hand it to her.
Hmm.
She's driving home, and she discovers as she reaches in that there's no food in her bag at all. There's just cash. $2,631 in cash in her Burger King bag.
That's the best drive-thru ever.
This is what is handed to her instead of her order. So she calls her husband, Matthew, on the phone, and he says, hey, come on home, and we'll discuss.
I bet he does.
And at home, they inspect the bag. And, of course, when she's driving, she has no idea how much money is in the bag. So they take it all out and they count it. And that's when they find the $2,631. Matthew admits in an interview afterwards to the Associated Press, we are not perfect human beings. The couple considered the possibility of keeping the money, added that they could certainly have used the cash. But he said he and his wife are Jehovah's Witnesses and that, of course, Jehovah sees everything.
Hmm. But maybe Jehovah is responsible for the person putting the money in the bag. Maybe that's how he's taking care of them.
Good point, Kevin.
You know? I always wonder about this because they always talk about how God works in mysterious ways.
And that's sometimes, a mysterious way.
And sometimes God just pops in and does something that's not expected that you can't count on, and it just happens. I mean, maybe this is, you know, this is your drowning and God sending you a boat.
Exactly.
I mean, who knows, right? Well, anyway, they did return the money about an hour later. The employees of the store were extremely thankful. They said they felt a lot better than keeping it. In fact, one person said that somebody was going to get fired because they found that that money was missing and somebody was going to get fired. But, you know, they
at the restaurant, they didn't know where it went. They didn't know who they gave it to or whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
What sounds like it happened, and as usual, not enough information. Burger King did not comment on this story. But they confirmed that it happened, but they did not give any details. So what probably happened is this person was taking a bank deposit. Somebody at the store was getting their money together for a bank deposit, and they put it in a Burger King bag, probably so when they're walking down the street to the bank, it's not obvious that they're carrying money.
Right.
Just looks like they're carrying lunch.
It makes sense.
Would be my guess. So anyway, yeah, so it was accidentally handed through the drive-thru window. Hmm. What do you think they gave the couple for returning the $2,631?
What did they give the couple?
Yeah, if you're the restaurant, you'd like to reward that kind of honesty, right?
A free curly fry.
All right, that's a great guess. A free curly fry, Lisa. What do you think?
I'm gonna go bigger. I'm gonna go like a whole meal.
A meal,
maybe two. One for the husband, one for the wife.
What about even bigger, which is like food for life?
No, that would cost
too
them
big.
More.
All right, it would cost them more than $2,000. That's right.
Yeah.
Chip, you got a guess? How much? What do you think the Burger King gave him, if anything?
I would have said the same as Lisa. Like maybe a meal.
A meal.
A free meal? All right. Well, it turned out a very generous Burger King there in Rochester, New York. Five free meals is what they got.
That's lovely.
Five free meals.
So not much of a story, though.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I mean, that is one of those stories you hear about that and you go, well, what would I do in that situation? Because it's not like getting too much money out of your ATM where there's a camera on you and it's linked to your account. This is anonymous cash.
I've learned to just assume I would do the right thing.
Yes. I like to think we all would.
Right. And then if it ever happens, I'll let you know.
We'll see.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
What is your deal? Do you not get how weird this is?
We have comedian Jay Moore.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Love him so much. He's going to be in studio. We are going to tell you about a human Ken doll. It's a guy who's having plastic surgery done. How many? 140? 150?
Something like that.
Surgeries?
We talked about him at this time on Friday, but we did dig a little deeper and found some interviews that he did so we can get a little more background, including who the hell's paying for all this?
Yes.
Which is, I think, the number one question people have, so you'll be interested in that.
He's replacing everything with plastic.
That's right.
That's what could go wrong. Harvey Levin from TMZ, as it is the weekend. Ralph will be here with Showbiz Beat, tell you about the movies. And what's up with Patriots fans? How are they holding their heads high these days?
Ooh.
Yeah, their team's successful. Go to the Super Bowl.
Again.
But they're cheating cheaters who cheat. So then you got that. So how do you make peace with that?
Right.
I think you say, well, that's disappointing. Win another one.
Yep. I think that's probably the case. Let's go, team. So that's coming up, as well as destination number 3 of K-Rock's World Tour, which is U2 in Barcelona, Spain.
Ooh.
Damn.
Details on that and your chance to qualify coming up.
This is a new band called U2?
No, it's the old same one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware that they were planning on performing yet. Okay.
Apparently
that's
they
great,
are.
That's great news then.
They just added a fifth L.A. show. June 3rd at the Forum. So, good times.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ.
Q.
It's Kevin and Bean Show.
I feel like the banjos were hot for a minute here on K-Rock, but it seems like they've kind of receded a little bit. Not getting too many new banjo songs lately.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm down on banjos. That's my stance. You know
really?
That. I can't.
We moved on and you're fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Welcome to banjo talk.
I'll tell you what's next, though, is Bjork. That's music.
She
right
needs
there.
Some banjos.
That's
need a banjo upper.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about that coming up right at the top of the hour. First, though, 5:53. Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week here on the show. Here's Ralph Garman.
Monday means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. American Sniper continues to be at number one, $64.4 million in its second week. Then The Boy Next Door with J Lo getting enjoyed by a young man who appears to be 40. Paddington, the kids movie that I love so much, was third at the box office with $12.4 million. The Wedding Ringer and Taken 3, top five at the box office. Then The Imitation Game, Strange Magic in its debut for the kids, little animated classic from George Lucas. Selma was eighth. Mordecai, the new Johnny Depp film, debuted with just $4.1 million, making it number nine. And then Into the Woods, the Stephen Sondheim musical, coming in at number 10 at the box office this weekend. The SAG Awards were held last night, and all the actors came out to say, good job, other actors.
By the way, Ralph, that's how you do a TV show.
Yes.
2 hours, boom. All actors you care about in movies you've seen, boom.
Well, it's only
nice.
It's only acting awards, so you get all famous people.
That makes sense.
Makes it good for television.
You know, cinematography and categories like that.
Yeah, but...
just zips on by. I like it.
Again, SAG Awards was developed pretty much as a TV program versus the Oscars, which has been around for a long time before
sure.
it was televised. And it's not for public consumption necessarily. It's for the people in the industry. So this is a little bit more casual viewer friendly because it is all the celebrities, all the TV and movie stars came out last night.
Is this one of those that predicts what the Oscars are going to be?
It's a pretty good indicator because, yeah. Actors vote for actors when it comes to the Oscars and things like that. For Best Cast in a Comedy, SAG Awards were given to Orange is the New Black.
Show's so funny.
Yeah, but against Veep.
Yeah.
The cast of Veep didn't win.
I think Kevin was making a joke.
I was making a joke.
It's not a comedy at all.
Not a comedy.
Downton Abbey got the cast award for Best Drama. Best Male Actor in a Drama Series, Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. No surprise there. What was a surprise, Best Female Actor in a Drama Series, Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder. That surprised some people.
Hmm. Yeah.
Male Actor in a Comedy Series, William H. Macy for Shameless. He is pretty terrific over there on that show. Best Female Actor in a Comedy, Uzo Adiba. She plays Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Best Male Actor in a Television Series, a Television Movie or Miniseries, Mark Ruffalo for The Normal Heart. Female Actor in that same category, Frances McDormand for Olive Kittredge. And the Lifetime Achievement Award was given to the legendary Debbie Reynolds, was given to her by her daughter, Carrie Fisher, in a very funny moment where she came out and pretty much roasted her mother in front of everyone. So, good times. When it came to the movies, that's where the real surprises were. Eddie Redmayne won for Theory of Everything, playing Stephen Hawking. A lot of people thought it would have been Michael Keaton for Birdman. So this is going to make the Oscars very interesting. It's a two-horse race between those guys, pretty much. Best Cast in Motion Picture did go to Birdman. However, Best Female Actor was Julianne Moore for her work in Still Alice. J.K. Simmons, once again, came up big for his work as a supporting actor in Whiplash. And Patricia Arquette won for Female Supporting Actor for her work in Boyhood. So congratulations to all the winners. Where was Angelina Jolie? A lot of people are asking. Where was that snotty bitch turning her nose up to the SAGs just because her Unbroken wasn't nominated? She could have been there. What was she doing? Eating bonbons? Sitting there on the couch? No. Actually, it turns out she did a mission to Iraq.
Oh.
Where she was meeting with refugees who had been tortured and abused by ISIS. She's so much better than everyone else.
Kind of puts acting in perspective a little bit.
Kind of does. She's a pretty cool lady. What do you do when you go to an event? And Kevin, you must run into this all the time, where someone's sitting behind you and your massive head keeps them from being able to enjoy anything.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do in those situations? When you're in a seat and you paid for it, but the guy in front of you, he paid for his seat too. I mean, what do you do?
Usually try to move with somebody else, in your group.
I guess.
But, yeah, it sucks to be the guy in front, too.
Scott Kahn said recently he went to see Bradley Cooper in The Elephant Man, and he said he had the worst seat in the house. He sat down, got right behind Michael Strahan, who at 6'5" and, I don't know, all pounds.
Yeah.
Pretty big fella.
The monster.
He said he really didn't see much of the performance because he was behind Michael Strahan there in New York. I say, move, bitch. That's what I do if I'm behind Michael Strahan.
You would say that
to
him?
Hey, bitch, why don't you move?
You would say it like that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Show him what for.
He's got a lot of nerve sitting in that seat he paid for.
That's what I'm saying. So take this outside, Michael Strahan. Teach you. School you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen celebrates his 60th birthday today.
How's his mouth? What do you hear from him lately, by the way? Didn't he have part of his tongue removed or something crazy?
He had some tongue cancer, but that was years ago, and he had some surgery and radiation, and he's fine.
Good.
Ellen DeGeneres is 57 years old today.
What's her mouth?
Mouth is pretty good, from what I understand.
All right.
According to Portia de Rossi. Wayne Gretzky of hockey.
Of hockey?
Yeah.
That's a weird way to say it.
Well, you know, I get these lists from David King Mexico on birthdays. I'll tell you the media tags for all the people who are listed here.
Okay.
Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen is 60. TV show host Ellen DeGeneres is 57. Hockey's Wayne Gretzky is 54.
All right.
He's just known from hockey.
Well, he does own pretty much every record.
He does. Yeah. He has sort of surpassed the sport he was in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you could say Oilers, you could say Kings. I mean, he spent some time with both of those teams significantly.
And isn't he an owner of the Coyotes now?
Yeah.
He does now?
So he's from hockey.
Yeah.
Actress Sarah Rue, she's 36 years old today. And, Dave.
Say it.
YouTube's kid president, Robbie Novak, is 12 years old.
Oh, I love kid
today.
President. He's awesome.
Yeah, he doesn't belong on this list.
He's
though.
Awesome.
Stop it. No, stop.
I support you, Dave.
No, no, not putting kid president on the celebrity birthday list. He's 12.
Have you seen kid president?
I have seen him. He's not on the celebrity birthday list.
He's a celebrity.
He's a celebrity, though.
He's not a celebrity.
But I mean, you know, sort of.
He's a 12-year-old kid on YouTube.
Yeah.
Not on the list. Not. Crossing it off right now. Off the list. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning, late in the show. We dug into the new Bjork album, which was a surprise release. It wasn't supposed to come out till March, but it got leaked. So she released it to iTunes last week. And Kevin, I bet you thought about the Bjork album a couple of times over the weekend, didn't you?
I did. Damn it, right to hell.
For more than 30 years, Bjork has been confounding some listeners and delighting others. This is her ninth album. And I think this is what you need to know. This is from Pitchfork, I think. Bjork's music can be uncomfortable to listen to for the unaccustomed listener because it doesn't always follow standard chord progressions.
Really?
That's pretty accurate, isn't it?
Yes, very
much
so.
But if you buy into what Bjork is putting out there, she can be a very, very entertaining artist.
That's the same with Yoko Ono, Bean.
I don't know anybody who actually likes Yoko Ono. There are millions of people who actually like Bjork.
Name them. I'm going to play a little bit of this new album.
Now, this is deep, sensitive stuff because this is her breakup album, remember? This is her longtime boyfriend. They have a 12-year-old daughter together. They broke up. And that's what this album is about. Is she's putting all this pain out there for us to feel, Kevin.
It's called Vulnicura, of course.
All right.
I mean, let's not be ridiculous. Our hearts are coral reefs in low tide. Love is the ocean we crave. Can she hear the music, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
I don't dislike this. I would not sit and listen to it over and over, but I don't dislike it.
How long would you give it if you came across it on the radio?
Less,
how much would you listen before you switch stations?
Maybe a little more than that.
Is that enough?
She is.
Give me one more second. Just keep okay, time. Now I'm done.
Right. She's awfully Bjorky.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
She's so Bjorky.
She's too Bjorky.
All right. And then there's the song that is a lot of people are talking about for a number of reasons. A, it's 10 minutes long. B, this is the one where she has her soul torn apart and she's in anguish and she doesn't know how she's going to be able to go on because of the despair that she feels about this relationship breaking up. And she really, really puts herself out there as honest as she's ever been. And it's delightful.
I wish we had the English version because then we could understand it.
This is in English.
What? I'm sorry?
This is in English. She's not singing in Iceland. This is...
I'm bored too.
Sure. All right.
All right. Seriously.
Between verses, the music fades to silence, blackness, darkness, only to be rejoined by some new thrumming or electronic layering. The noise jars enough just to keep each section uncomfortable and restless.
Yeah, that's what we want, is we want uncomfortable. Do you mind if we talk to Bjork?
Oh, do we have
her? Yeah,
are you kidding? That'd be fantastic. That will answer all of our questions. Otherwise, we're just speculating. This is great. Hey, Bjork.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be arising with the sun of all the clouds that are surrounding the universes of highness.
What are your thoughts now that your baby is out there for the public to hear? Vulnicura, I guess it's called.
Yes.
How do you feel now that people have heard it?
I'm so happy everyone loves my music because it is full of wonder and grace and all of the love and surroundingness can happen.
Lisa doesn't like it.
some of it I kind of do.
It's a journey through love and loss and all the darkness and sunshine that is surrounding all the stars and fairies as they go through the universal car wash of love.
Car wash of love. You were in a pretty bad way when you made some of this record. Sounds like you were in a lot of pain.
I was in a lot of pain.
Physical pain.
Not as much pain as those who listen to it. But a lot of pain, yes.
Is it difficult for you to strip away the layers and just put yourself out there just as a human being whose heart is just hurting?
No, because I am an artist. Mm-hmm. And that is what you must do. You must show your emotions truly, and then you must sing them atonally to crappy music.
No, that's what you have to do?
You must do that to be a true artist.
I see. But you like your own music, don't you, Bjork?
Not a big
I like making it.
Right.
Have you? I wouldn't listen to it.
Have you listened back to the album?
No. Well,
can I play just
too hard to listen to.
Can I play just a little bit for you?
Okay.
All right. Apocalypse, take me obsessions. Did I love you? So there's that. You like that?
I wouldn't listen to it. I like making the song, so that's how I express myself.
I see.
Like this new song.
Oh.
I am wrapped up in a sleeping bag of cardboard in a room where I like to watch television in a picture frame. But all the aliens have my carbohydrates. Grown up in the Bible, I wish that your head was pleather.
What?
I would clean you with Windex.
Did you write that, or are you just going right off the top of your head there?
No, that was written.
Written?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, sounds
I was
like
high as hell when I did it.
That's not good.
You ever have mushrooms?
Yes.
I love those things.
Okay.
Hola, que roco, Lisiraro. Bienvenido al World Tour 2015. Destination 3.
U2 in Barcelona, Spain.
The most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. Beautiful day.
Try to stay on your bike and keep your hands at 9, noon, 3, 6, and 9.
I'm broken, my clover.
It's all right.
Recuperate with tickets to U2's 5th LA show just added June 3rd to Forum. Tickets on sale Friday at 10. And maybe there will be room, Bob, for you on the flight to see him again in Barcelona, Spain.
Keep it on K-Rock.
From Warner Brothers Pictures' new movie from the creators of the Matrix trilogy, Jupiter Ascending, Expand Your Universe, in theaters February 6th.
8 o'clock this morning, by the way, the great Jay Moore makes his 2015 debut on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love Jay. Been a while since we've seen him. Here's another man we love, Harvey Levin, on the line from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
I just want to say, before we talk about what's on the site up at TMZ.com right now, is that producer Dave, the King of Mexico, had some folks in from out of town, took them on the TMZ bus tour over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
And had a great time. And I know we don't talk about the bus tour very often, but it's still up and running and doing better than ever, right?
Oh, it's, yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing that people want to do when they come to L.A. now, like go to the Walk of Fame, you know?
Because you know what it is? It's like there are a lot of tours that will take you to, like, Lucille Ball's house that really never was Lucille Ball's house.
Right.
And this is like pop culture in the last 10 years with all the stuff that's happened. And then we bring it to life with video and games and songs and prizes. It's a show.
I remember when you were just dreaming of this being a thing. And now it is a thing.
Yeah. By the way, in New York City, too.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Well, Dave told me, and then we'll move on, but Dave told me that the two biggest surprises for him were, one, how popular Lisa Vanderpump is, whoever the hell she is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And two, that everybody laughed out loud when you point out the sign where Kanye West banged his head.
That's a crowd pleaser.
So anyway.
Only on the TMZ tour, a stop sign gets applause.
Yep. If you want to take the tour for you or for your friends or visitors or whatever, you can sign up for it at TMZ.com. It is pretty awesome. All right. Let's talk about what's up. Chris Brown back in the news, but not for what we'd expect, Harvey.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but gosh, it must have been like 8 or 9 months ago. Remember he went to jail because he got kicked out of rehab for acting up and throwing a rock at his mom's car, and he was supposed to be there for 90 days, so they put him in jail, and then they had to take him across country because he had to appear in his assault case in D.C.
Right, on the other charges, yes.
And so remember there was this kind of Con Air thing where he took some airplanes, prison airplanes, and then he took buses, but he has to stop along the way because there are a lot of stops. It took a week to get to D.C., and the first stop was in San Bernardino, the sheriff's department, the jail. And so he shows up there, and they have to take a picture of him. They have to do an ID whenever somebody goes to jail.
Okay.
So they take the ID, he goes across, blah, 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 it's done. Well, all of a sudden, that ID ends up on eBay. So somehow somebody got hold of Chris Brown's jail ID from San Bernardino, and they're trying to sell it. So he is the victim of identity theft.
But
and I know.
But identity fraud, it's not the same as somebody trying to steal his money, is it?
I suppose.
It's just he's famous, so let's sell it on eBay?
So his lawyer is going crazy, and they want to find out, number one, how to get out of the sheriff's department this way and how to end up on eBay.
How excited was his lawyer? There's something that's somebody else's fault. Let's go after it. This is awesome.
That has to be somebody in the San Bernardino court or prison system who said, hey, here's a celebrity. I can make some money off it. I'll sell it, right?
I don't know. I don't think they know who did it. But, you know, like you said, Chris Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't happen to another guy.
I didn't know until I saw on your site that his attorney is Mark Garagos. Wasn't he one of the was one of the Michael Jackson lawyers, right?
Yeah, and remember he represented Scott Peterson. He's represented a lot of people.
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, fascinating story. Lindsay Lohan, she's up next. This photo that she tweeted and you posted, she's looking pretty good.
That's your takeaway?
Am I missing the point?
Yes. I mean, she... Oh, God. She has to be in court on Wednesday, and
right.
She is supposed to prove to the judge that she has finally done her community service for, remember, she got in an accident on the Pacific Coast Highway where she hit an 18-wheeler in 2012.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she had 240 hours she had to complete. Last November, she was supposed to have it done. She goes to court, she only has half of it done. And so the judge cuts her yet another break and says, okay, you've got 120 hours to go. You've got to get it done by the next hearing, which is Wednesday. So now, all of a sudden, we find out on Friday she didn't do it. And she's in trouble because at some point they're going to say, screw this, we're throwing you in jail. So she comes up with all these excuses. And the reason that it got on our radar is because we found out that she was hospitalized in London for this weird disease where a mosquito, it's a mosquito bite. I keep calling it chicken gumbo because I can't pronounce this thing.
I know. That's what it looks like. It's a weird word.
It is a weird word. So anyway, so all of a sudden we find out she's coming up with these excuses that the community service place in London was closed for 2 weeks during Christmas. She got this disease in Bora Bora. But the big thing is she went to Bora Bora. It's like she didn't do her community service.
Yeah.
And then she posts this picture over the weekend saying, look how hot I look. She better get this done Wednesday, or this judge is not going to be happy. Now, she supposedly is now doing it every day. It's like cramming for final exams and you haven't read anything.
But if it's by this Wednesday, I mean, she could do 12 hours a day. It wouldn't help.
Yeah, it's not. She's running out of time.
It's impossible.
I mean, I don't know how many hours she had done. Nobody knows right now. I mean, I don't know how many hours she needs to do. I just know she did it Friday and then was supposed to do it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, today.
Wow.
And maybe even tomorrow because they're 8 hours ahead. But she is saying theoretically she can get it done. We will see.
That's hilarious.
Have you ever done community service, Harvey?
I have not.
Yeah, we have. 120 hours is a lot.
Where'd you do it?
And it feels like 1,000 hours too.
We did it at a food bank. We packed lunches for.
That was one of the things that we did. We stacked groceries and helped pack lunches.
Oh, it's a long story, Harvey. That's not
Harvey. Please, thank God.
Hey guys, who am I going to tell?
Thank God, all that happened before there was a TMZ.com. Or we may not still have a job. All right, go to Fox TV and watch TMZ throughout the day. It's a delightful show. TMZ Live airs Monday through Fridays at 4 on Fox, and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. And take that bus tour; you'll love it. Harvey, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Where They're the guys who want you to go see U2. We've got tickets for their one of their shows coming up at the Forum. And by the way, U2 has just added a fifth date to the Forum. So we assume Bono is going to be feeling okay. June 3rd is going to be that date. But at 9 o'clock this morning, we'll get you on the standby boarding list to go to Barcelona, Spain. That is U2 in Barcelona, Spain. K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 3. Get your details at KROQ.com.
You guys do what I do when you get on a plane, you grab the Sky Mall and you start looking through it and you go, need that, need that.
Yes.
Didn't know that existed, need that, didn't know that existed, need that. Then you put it back and don't buy.
Right.
It is weird that Sky Mall managed to find so much stuff for sale that you never, ever saw anyplace else.
Yeah.
Like, where did all this stuff come from? Was it just being made for Sky Mall? Do they have a lot of exclusives?
Have you ever ordered anything out of Sky Mall, Bean?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Many times.
I'm to blame for this story, then.
Many times. You know, those Sky Mall catalogs are free to take with, so you can take it home and then just order it online from at home if you're not online on the plane.
I feel like it's cool stuff when you're looking at it, and then when you get it in your house, you'll probably never use it.
You forget that statue of the Bigfoot monster that I bought for you that one Christmas. That came from Sky Mall.
That was pretty strong.
Well, anyway, they made millions and millions of dollars per year at one point. Not so much anymore. They blame increased use of electronic devices on plane, fewer people browsing the Sky Mall in-flight catalog, and people buying from other vendors. Sky Mall, it announced on Friday, is in bankruptcy.
Aww.
The company is going out of business. So we wanted to find out more about how this happened because, gosh, I can't remember a time before Sky Mall. I can't believe it's not going to be around. Blake Franklin is on the line. He is the CEO of the Sky Mall company. Mr. Franklin, thanks so much for joining us, sir.
Put him over there by the giant crossword puzzle.
Mr. Franklin?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Kevin and Bean Show. You're on the air, sir. How are you?
All right, what do you need?
Put him over there by the what? The giant what?
World's largest crossword puzzle.
Okay.
We're here at the Sky Mall warehouse. I'm trying to do something with all this merch we got. We got tons of stuff. I don't know how we're going to get rid of any of this stuff.
Well, you certainly did have a wide variety of items. I mean, I just remember from the Sky Mall catalog, if you start flipping through that thing, it seems like you're selling like 1,000 different things.
I heard you were the guy who bought the Bigfoot, the Garden
yes,
and the Yeti.
Yes, I did. I sure did, yeah.
Thanks for that. We're glad we sold one.
So what's going to happen? Are you going to have some sort of a big sale there in Phoenix where people can come and just buy whatever they want?
Yeah, make an offer. We got to move this stuff. I mean, I got a crate load of armadillo beverage holders here, and I just know what I'm going to do with
I don't know that anybody needs an armadillo beverage holder.
Any goose repellent?
Goose repellent?
No.
No?
I didn't think so.
No.
Hey, Johnny, stack the goose repellent on the other side of the crate. We're not going to get any of that out today. I got night glow toilet seat. You want a night glow toilet seat?
Now, I guess in principle, the idea was that if you get up in the middle of the night, you don't have to turn the lights on. You can still find your way to the bathroom with this thing?
Yeah, that's the idea. What are you, Einstein?
Well, I just...
It's a night glow toilet seat. What did you think it was for?
Well, I can't imagine that anyone actually...
We got idiots reading the magazine. I told you, we got to get smarter people to read the magazine.
Come on,
sorry.
Now. You can turn on a light or leave a light on. I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, it turns out that was the case. Yeah. So we're not moving a lot of those. Maybe that's why we're going bankrupt.
What else you got?
Hey, I got a bacon pillow. The pillow looks like bacon.
And I wonder why you went out of business.
Before you try it, yes, it's a pillow that is shaped like bacon.
Right.
Looks like bacon.
All right,
got it. Who wants to describe everything.
Yeah, well, he likes answers. He likes specifics.
How about the men's added padded butt enhancer underwear?
No,
you have
no,
a flat
none
butt?
For
anybody got a flat butt over there?
None for me, please.
I don't think we're all interested that much in our butts.
Well, maybe you're not, but who's looking at it? Maybe somebody wants to look at a better butt.
Yeah,
you think
maybe
about somebody else for a change, instead of yourself, you selfish bastard.
That's a good point, sir.
And now I got stuff. We got stuff we haven't even put in the catalog yet. How are we going to get rid of these Willy Warmer penis cozies that we just ordered?
The Willy Warmer penis cozies?
Yeah, it's like a crocheted bag for your stuff.
Okay.
You know, sometimes just your penis gets cold?
No. No, it's never happened.
How about the crazy colon booze enema bag? You're at an event, like a concert or a sporting event, and you can't drink booze, so you just put this enema bag in your butt, and then you put it under your arm, and just give it a little squeeze, let your butt take a sip every once in a while.
Wow. Can I put that on layaway? No. Hello?
What am I going to do with these Bill Cosby coffee makers?
You're going to eat those.
No, you're going to eat those.
Tonight. 106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:53.
I want to talk to Patriots fans in the next half hour about how you're feeling. How you feeling about your team?
The Cheatriots, you mean?
Right?
Right? Huh?
I don't
the
know
New England Cheatriots?
I'm not sure that, that works. Right. Including Patriots fan number one, our friend Allie McKay, who apparently was born in Los Angeles but is a lifelong Patriots fan because of her family's heritage.
Yeah, we got to work something out.
Why did she not? Well, I guess we'll ask her. I mean, she grew up in L.A. Why did she not become a Raiders or a Rams fan?
I don't know.
All right.
Don't know.
Anyway, that's all coming up. Great Jay Moore at 8 o'clock as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the show business on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to show business news, how about some tickets to a very cool event? These are passes to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending.
Yay!
It happens on Monday, February the 2nd at the TCL Chinese Theater. This movie looks awesome, by the
way.
It's got Channing Tatum with pointy ears and like a like a hipster beard running around from outer space, and Mila Kunis is all also from outer space, and they're all spacey together, and then they go back to space.
I love Mila Kunis.
To stop a guy who's trying to take over space.
That Eddie Redmayne.
Stephen Hawking
too,
guy.
Right?
Stephen Hawking's trying to take over space.
I think it's Eddie Redmayne, the actor, yeah.
It's awesome. Jupiter Ascending is in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 6th, but you get to see it before anybody else at the premiere on February the 2nd. So call me now if you'd like to attend. 1-800-520-1067. It's the number to call for passes to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending. Tom Petty is a name some
Guilty.
Of you may know. He's not charged with anything.
Oh.
He is a singer-songwriter of some note. And when a song came out in April of last year by a gentleman named Sam Smith, a song called Stay With Me,
mm-hmm.
A number of people went, where have I heard that song before? Let's take a listen to a little, so let's Stay With Me, Sam Smith.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need.
It's a big hit.
This
it was a big hit.
Great song.
It's clear to see. But darling, I want.
Oh, wait a minute, Tom Petty said. That sounds a lot like this song.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Well, I mean,
you can stand me up at the gates of hell, but stay with me.
It sort of sounds similar.
It's the same song.
It sounds similar.
Same song.
I wouldn't say same song.
Well, you know who did say same song?
Who?
Sam Smith.
He did?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, Tom Petty's lawyer said, hey, that's the same song.
Okay.
And Sam Smith said, busted!
He admitted that that's
where... now given Tom Petty songwriting royalties on all the sales of Stay With Me.
Wow. Unintentionally, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can say, yeah, sure. it does
people
sound like your song, Tom.
People give up money unintentionally all the time.
No. I'm
going to accidentally give you some more money.
No.
I mean, too much of this
unintentionally
money.
That the song sounds the same. It's not like he's admitting to, hey, I heard your song and ripped it off on purpose.
No,
he's just saying, yeah, you're right, it sounds similar.
He's not admitting to having ripped it off on purpose. You're right. He's saying, I don't know what happened.
But here's some money.
Here's a check. Please don't sue me because you're right. It's exactly the same song.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently this all was settled out of court back in October, but the details just emerged this weekend. And so now a 12.5% writing credit goes to both Tom Petty and his co-writer for that song, Jeff Lynne of ELO fame.
Wow.
So they have now a big stake in that
surprise
song.
This didn't happen more.
Getting a little cashish for the whole deal.
So Sam Smith is clearly a Patriots fan.
Because he's a cheater.
Cheating his way through life,
he's
right, exactly.
Brit, first of all. They cheat all over the place.
That's right.
Take everything of ours and just...
How about that? Would you have guessed that threat of a lawsuit would have paid off like that? I wouldn't.
No, I would have thought, it's accidental. Oh, well.
But it's yeah. So, I mean...
A lot of songs dental. Are. I don't...
And more often than not, a lot of those cases get found for the original songwriter.
They do. Yeah. Oh.
Majority of those goes. And I think Sam Smith knew that the resemblance was just too strong. He wasn't going to be able to...
Very play. Interesting. Boy, it got to be the hardest part about being a songwriter is to try to find a melody that hasn't already been used.
Well, just do what Bjork does.
Yeah.
Don't have any melodies.
Yeah, that helps.
Just do BS stream of conscious poetry to bad music tracks.
She'll never get sued.
No one will ever
Nobody
say,
wants
hey,
it.
That's my song. No one would claim that.
Devotion.
Sounds just like that Cheap Trick hit. She's so
interesting
awful.
Story, Ralph.
She's awful.
She is awful.
I wish her bad things. And it's Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. American Sniper still doing very well for itself, $64.4 million in its second week.
I hear it is the, maybe this is not true yet, but will be soon, the highest grossing war movie of all time.
Oh.
Is where it's headed.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
Oh.
I saw it over the weekend. It's amazing.
Oh. How about that
Al
baby?
Pacino?
How about that baby? Oh. That baby's amazing, isn't it?
The baby what?
The plastic baby.
The obviously fake baby in the movie?
The fakest baby in movie history, as they're calling it.
Well, you can't find any human babies
no.
in the movie.
You can't spend $60 million on a movie and have a realistic baby.
Is the baby in the movie a lot, Kevin?
I didn't notice it at all.
Of course you didn't.
I didn't know anything about it.
It was just loud. I just noticed loud.
It was loud.
That's there was lots of loud. Boom, bang.
It didn't happen a lot.
There was baby in movie? I'm not going to see baby.
How about that Bradley Cooper, though?
Pretty dreamy.
All right. Easy there.
Is that where we're going? No.
Mop up on aisle four.
All right.
Boy Next Door was second in its debut. Paddington was third. Then Wedding Singer. Nope. Wedding Ringer. Taken three. Those are your top five movies. The Imitation Game was sixth. Strange Magic, the animated film from George Lucas et al. Seventh. Selma, Mordecai, the new Johnny Depp film was ninth. And Into the Woods, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Van Halen. Guitarist Eddie Van Halen, 60 years old. Play the Van Halen song with no guitar in it. Thank you.
Only keyboards.
Yep, just keyboards. There's the amazing guitar work of Eddie Van Halen there on that song.
It's so good, you don't even
work.
You can't even hear it.
Excellent work,
team. That's how good it is.
Couldn't you have been Hot for Teacher or something? Is it one of those guitar riffs or one of those solos or something?
Let's talk to your man Omar in the other room about that one.
How about that solo from Beat It, man? I'd love to hear some of that.
All right. Eddie, he's good. Can't tell from that song.
He is
he's
good.
Very good. Ellen DeGeneres is 57 years old today. Hockey's Wayne Gretzky is 54. And actress Sarah Rue celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Deflategate.
Yeah.
Still going on, full steam. You know, part of the problem here is that there's 2 weeks between the end of the AFC and NFC championship games and the Super Bowl. So we got a lot of time to talk about football with no football.
Hey, we had the Pro Bowl, man.
We did have the Pro Bowl. I don't know a soul who even tuned in for 1 minute of the Pro Bowl, by
the
way.
Yeah, I didn't.
And we're all football fans. Ralph, did you watch any of it?
I watched a little bit, yeah.
How was it?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
I like to see my boy Darren Sproles. I wanted to see him play. It was for his first All-Star game, and it was okay.
Saturday Night Live addressed Balghazi this past weekend, and they did, I thought, a very funny parody of the coach, Bill Belichick, of the New England Patriots, who basically, if you recall, came out a few days ago and said, I don't know anything about this, but take a look at that Tom Brady over there.
I came here today to tell you that I have absolutely nothing to do with deflating those footballs, and that's all I have to say on the matter, period. But I still have several minutes left, so I'd like to spend the remainder of the press conference throwing my quarterback under the bus. Now, I don't know if this is relevant, but I remember right before kickoff, Tom got this crazy look in his eye, and he whispered to me, I'm going to do it. I'm finally going to do something about those damn footballs. Also, even though you didn't ask, I'm just going to say that I never really trusted the guy. Now, someone that good-looking and rich, I mean, you've seen American Psycho.
So he basically goes on to continue to besmirch Tom Brady's good name. Tom Brady then gets out there and is all pretty and cute and says, I don't know anything about it. It wasn't me. So they're just passing the, no pun intended, passing the ball down the line. And who knows if they're ever going to find the person who actually deflated the footballs. The Patriots may come out of this completely unscathed. There may be no fine. Nothing may ever happen to them as a result of this.
Well, how can you say that? I mean, someone, the organization's going to be held responsible at some level.
I guess we'll find out if they will. I just wonder if they never find somebody that they can pin it on, what they're going to end up doing.
It's
I don't know.
It's not a court of law. They don't need to put somebody in jail. They'll just hit the organization, either with fines or with...
It's the NFL that tested, right, and found out that there were 11 of 12 that were under-inflated.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
So you say you're cheaters who cheat, and you're horrible people, and you should all be punished because you're horrible cheaters who cheat.
I wonder how Patriots fans were feeling about this. And here's a great article that includes quotes from, among others, the mayor of Boston, Martin Walsh, who says, the scandal is turning into a joke. From what I'm reading and hearing, the NFL hasn't seen anything that was wrong. The referees touched this ball. They come in and out of the game. I don't understand it. I think they're just trying to get in Tom Brady's head and the coach's head and the player's head. But I think it's going to have a reverse impact on him. So he is standing by his boys.
Well,
he says it's
me.
The world against the Patriots.
Because he's a cheater.
But wait. Like
everyone from Boston cheats, and he's a cheater too.
But wait, let me back up. It's not just the other teams that are saying it. It's the NFL that's saying it, right?
Yes.
The NFL is investigating.
Patriots fan Richard Anderson of Boston says, to be honest, I'm done. Sometimes I think they just pick on the Patriots. When you're near the top, someone always wants to knock you down. So it's a conspiracy, man. It's just people who hate the Patriots because they're good.
They do pick on people, especially when they cheat. When people cheat, they tend to get picked on.
Well, let's find out. The biggest Patriots fan we know is on the line. Our friend Allie McKay, formerly of KTLA Channel 5 in the Morning and now hopelessly unemployed. Hey, Allie, how are you?
Wow.
Yeah. Great intro.
Beat a girl when she's down. Why don't you?
But you got your Patriots.
How dare you? How dare all of you, first of all. Big ups to Marty Walsh. That's the mayor.
Yeah,
big ups.
Standing by the team.
Because he had no idea.
Look.
He has no idea.
Yeah. It's a huge thrill to go to the Super Bowl. Every fan wants to see their team have the opportunity to win it all. But is this diminishing your enjoyment a little bit with all this cloud of controversy over the team, Allie?
Absolutely. And that's as a Patriots fan. And I think non-Patriots fans are annoyed by the whole thing. It's ridiculous. I think a lot of people could care less about the Super Bowl. Because they think, oh, they're cheaters, they're horrible, I don't even care about the outcome, Bill Nye, blah. Who cares? Give me a break. This just in. I like to say that when there's actually no new information.
I like it.
It makes it exciting.
It does sound like something important's on the way.
I thought something was happening. It didn't happen. It's a conspiracy. This is all Harbaugh getting in the head of Pagano, and then you've got crazy Colts owner Jim Irsay like, wow, we're going to do something, eh. No.
Wait a minute. Edward G. Robinson owns the team?
That was the breaking news. That was it.
So you're saying nothing happened. So when the NFL said 11 out of the 12 game balls had, in fact, been deflated, you're saying that didn't happen at all?
I believe they were deflated because it happens during a game. But you know what? Then you say, well, what about the Colts balls?
Right.
Why weren't those deflated?
Exactly.
Because they overinflate.
Hello?
Oh, the Illuminati got to Allie.
Yeah.
Oh, are you there?
Oh, there you are.
Okay, that was weird.
Wow.
Okay, Allie, I'm glad you brought that up about, things happen during the game, especially in the cold weather and the rainy weather that they were playing in for that AFC game. But Belichick gave another press conference over the weekend where he tried to say that it was atmospheric conditions and whatnot. And Bill Nye came out and said that that was nonsense. There's nothing that goes on in the weather that's going to deflate a football. The only thing that deflates a football is you push the little button to let air out.
I'm sorry, Bill Nye, the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh, look at that.
The Seahawks homer.
I would just also like to clarify there's no button on a football that lets the air out.
You know what I mean. The little,
there's no air button.
The little thing, the little knob, whatever it is
there's
you
no
push
knob.
It in.
You'd have to put a needle inside
put
the football.
Put a needle in. You have to insert a needle
You are the
into it.
Biggest non-sports nerd I've ever met in my life.
I know how letting air in and out of a tire or a football
Apparently
goes. I just don't know
don't.
What that little thing is called that you put the thing in. That's all.
Wow.
And by the way, don't discount Bill Nye just because he happens to be from Seattle. I think he's got a pretty credible resume on his own as a man of science for the last 40 years.
I am going to decredit him because he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
good.
What
I'm going to do.
Got
so
a good
you
point.
Sip it with Bill Nye.
All right.
You know who has come out against Bill Nye?
Jesus?
MIT scientists. And you're going to say, oh, they're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, what a
they don't know what football is.
They're like Bean. They don't know how the air comes out of a football.
You put it in the button with the thing.
It's like a knob.
Allie, do you think that your team did nothing wrong and this is all hate?
Yes.
Really?
Do?
You don't think that.
You don't think that.
You're a smart lady. You know that they're cheaters. You just choose to look the other way.
If you're going to say Spygate was cheating,
yes.
I think you're crazy.
Okay, good.
It was just a guy on the sidelines in the wrong position to film.
Just pointing his camera on the wrong side?
Yes.
I see.
All right, let me ask you this question, Ralph Garman.
Yes.
If you do get an advantage from deflating footballs and get away with it, do you wish the Eagles had done that?
No, I wish everyone would just play by the rules so there'd be an even playing field so the best teams would win.
That's how I feel, too.
And that's the thing. The Patriots don't have to. Why are the Patriots cheating when they don't have to? They're obviously a great organization. Why do they feel compelled to do these things?
Because they didn't, first of all. And number two, do you not remember during the Packers-Patriots game when Phil Simms said on the CBS broadcast, oh, I was talking to Aaron Rodgers about he likes his balls overinflated, and sometimes he likes to do them so big just to see if the officials will notice. He said that I'm not quoting directly, so look it up. But he said that during the broadcast.
So you're saying that the New England Patriots did nothing.
Yes.
Oh, Allie.
You are a lying liar who lies.
who's a fan of a cheating cheater who cheats.
Maybe.
All right, Allie. Well, listen, we're going to move on and take calls from other Patriots fans and find out how they are reconciling this in their head. I'm sure they're still rooting for their team to win, but I got to imagine that most Patriots fans are disappointed that this cloud exists. Wouldn't you think so, guys?
If you want to talk to my Uncle Mac and my Uncle Pat and Sully, they'd love to talk to you.
We would love to, actually.
Okay. All right, Allie, thanks. We'll see you soon. Now, Victor, you hang on. We're going to get to you first up when we come back, and we want to hear from other New England Patriots fans. Ralph, what do you say to those Patriots fans as we prepare to ask them to call?
Look, I don't expect any Patriots fan to cop to any of this. Of course, they're going to say whatever. As long as my team wins, I don't care. And I think that's the problem. I think winning at any cost has become the commonplace, the culture, and sort of sportsmanship and playing by the rules has just gone by the wayside.
But I would like to hear those Patriots fans justify what they did based on what you just said, because I totally agree with you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show here. We got some tape on the young man who's trying to turn himself into a human Ken doll. He's replacing every body part he can with plastic. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Also, we'll do the grand prize drawing that we promised to send someone to Australia to see Foo Fighters, destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour. That's all coming up. First, though, this Sunday, Glendale, Arizona, you got your Seattle Seahawks and your New England Patriots, both teams making their third Super Bowl appearance in the last 10 years. So it's going to be hopefully a great, great game. But there's a little bit of a cloud of controversy over the Patriots because of Balghazi or Deflategate, depending on which one you want to call it. And we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a Patriots fan, we want to know how you are getting this in your head. Let's talk to Victor first. He's in Buena Park. He's been waiting for a while. He's on line 4. Hey, Victor.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've just got to a level of acceptance, and here we go. Everybody cheats.
Some
people are just better at, they're just better at hiding it than others.
Well,
has anybody ever got driven in the carpool lane and not got caught? Or have
no, why would you ask me that?
Why would you ask Kevin
why
that?
Why would you ask me that, Victor?
No.
So you're
maybe
okay.
Maybe you did. Maybe you went in the carpool lane.
So, Victor, well, you're okay if the Patriots cheat because you think everybody else cheats too. They just got unlucky or did it poorly.
Everybody does it.
But
that's
Victor, isn't your reaction then, hey, don't get caught. What's wrong with you? Like if the Arizona Cardinals, that's my team, if they were cheating and they were caught cheating, I would go, don't get caught. That's embarrassing.
Of course. Yeah, we're ashamed of it. But I mean, come on. Everybody does it at some point in time. You feel stupid afterwards. You regret it. But now look where we're at. I mean, it sucks. But whatever. I mean, it happens.
All right.
But it doesn't diminish your love for the Patriots.
No, you know, okay, look, they still had to throw the ball. The Colts didn't show up. They still had to defend it. So,
Oh, they're a better team than the Colts. There's no question about that. But did they do it all season long? Do they do it all the time?
I hope not.
Yeah, you know they did.
All right, Victor, thanks for the call. Let's go to, is it Blanca on line 1?
I would guess so.
All right. She went to school in Boston, and she is – are you a Patriots fan, Blanca?
Yes, I am.
All right. What do you think when you hear all this nonsense about your team? They're talking about everything except for football right now when it comes to the Patriots.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think it's just – they're trying to – you know, just like Tom said on the press conference, when you're being attacked, that's when you do the best. I'm prior military as well. When you have a lot of pressure on you and people are going to hate, that's when you perform the best. So
okay.
I bring it on. Bring all the hate on. It's only going to make my team stronger.
All right.
Let me just
bring up a different point, and that is everybody who says that everybody hates, that's an easy way to write off all of the criticism. Oh, you just hate. You hate. So therefore, nothing is true about us and nothing is bad about us. It's possible that people hate because they cheated. That's possible. No?
Yeah, but the thing is that you have Raider fans coming out of the woodworks from 10 years ago. It's like, get over it. You know, it's like, you know, they're still talking about things that had to do a long time ago. And it's like, you have the Seattle Seahawks using performance drugs to improve their game. You don't see people talking about them.
I haven't heard about that. Thing. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, look into it. Yeah, there's
a lot. Well, that's a good one. Look into it.
All right, Blanca, thanks for the call. So, Kevin, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that haters are going to hate, but that the Patriots
don't
just shake it off. Is what it sounds like. That's where it sounds like where you're headed. All right, let's go to Chris. He's on line 3. He has an interesting theory, by the way. He lives here, but he is from New England. Hi, Chris. You're a Patriots fan. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
What's happening?
Deflategate is total BS. People need something to talk about for the boring 2 weeks to build up to the Super Bowl.
All right.
The Pro Bowl is boring.
and nobody wants to watch it.
I agree with everything you're saying, except for the NFL came out and said 11 of the 12 balls were underinflated. What did that not? Is that not true? Or is that always true?
It's probably all lies, man.
All lies.
All lies.
Wow.
So we have tapped into Patriots fans who just deny the facts of the case, basically. This is you know what this is? This is your brother was arrested for murder, and you say, nah, he didn't do it. He's my brother, so he didn't do it. That's what this is.
The Patriots kick ass all season, and nobody says anything. And they get to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden allegations come out.
And 9/11 was an inside job, man. Check it out. It's a little movie called Loose Change. Am I right?
China did it.
Look it up. Congratulations to...
Yes. Yes.
Michelle Fuzza.
That's not me. I wanted to win this one.
Yeah, you're not eligible. From
What's
West
her name
Covina.
Again?
Michelle Fuzza.
Okay.
From West Covina. Just won a trip to see the Foo Fighters in Sydney, Australia.
Yay! That's incredible.
I've never won anything like that. That's pretty cool.
Can't believe we give that stuff away. She is the grand prize winner of Destination Number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2015. Destination Number 3 is up and running now, starting at 9 o'clock this morning. We qualify you to go see the band U2 in Barcelona, Spain. How about that? All right. Friday on the show, first thing up, we started talking about a young man named Justin Jedlicka, I want to say is how you pronounce his last name. He is, some say he's an extreme plastic surgery addict. He's basically turning himself into plastic. And we had a little discussion about him. We were talking about the most recent surgery that he was going in last week was to eliminate the veins in his forehead. So he wanted his forehead to be completely flat like you would on a plastic doll.
He wants to look like a Ken doll.
That's what his goal is, yes.
Is that healthy?
It is a high-risk procedure, as you'll recall we talked about on Friday, because they go in through your eyes to remove
the veins.
So he was risking blindness to have the forehead veins in his face removed.
I feel like you would go to a plastic surgeon, tell them that plan, and they would laugh you out of their office.
That no one would do it.
Unless they did it like in a van at a Ralph's parking lot or something.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I guess they do lots of cosmetic surgeries. I mean, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of surgeries done all the time in this country and around the world that are not necessary. They're not medically necessary. They're just for people to look better. Justin has spent over $200,000 on plastic surgery. I found out why or how he's able to pay for it.
Okay.
He is married to a wealthy businessman who supports him and is happy to pay for the surgery to make his husband happy. That's how he does it.
That's crazy.
We were trying to figure out where all the money was coming from.
You look at him and you go, man, he really is going from being a real person to being an actual Ken doll.
Being a doll.
And not a good way.
He was on Dr. Drew's HLN show a while back. At the time, you'll hear this surgery number and it's going to sound like a lot, but it's double that now. But here's how Dr. Drew introduced Justin back then.
They call him the human Ken doll. At age 32, he's already had 90 cosmetic procedures. His upper body is covered in rock-hard prosthetic muscle implants. Those triceps, not real. Neither are those pecs. A total transformation, head to toe, and it is not over.
This is Justin Jedlicka. You've had head to toe procedures. You're called the human Ken doll. Where did that come from?
Yeah, it was dubbed to me by 2020.
Were you offended by that? Did you like that?
No, I was flattered.
You were flattered by that?
Totally.
So you're going for the plastic man look.
I like looking a little overdone, definitely.
I like looking a little overdone.
He had 90 surgeries over a year ago.
Yes, he's over 180 now, by the way. Now, gosh. I did find out that's a little bit deceptive. Most of those are not surgeries. That's the total number of procedures.
Okay.
So some of that is just getting, getting hair removed, for instance. I mean, he counts everything in procedures. In terms of surgeries, he's only, like, been under anesthesia and been out and been operated on through the skin about 25 times.
Oh, well, that's reasonable.
So that sounds a lot better, right?
Yeah, way better.
Why? What is that? Great question, Kevin. What is Justin's motivation? Where did all of this come from? We're all thinking that there must be something bad going on in his brain, right? Here's how it started for him.
Ever since I was in my teens, I wanted to have plastic surgery. To me, it meant luxury and it meant wealth. And that was something I wanted in my life. I wrote the checks out to the doctor and gave them over, you know, almost all my savings that I had. And I left thinking I was going to feel depressed, and I got in the car, and I felt really euphoric.
I felt important, I think, to myself for the first time, because nothing in our house was ever solely ours. Like, I shared a room with my baby sister. So to actually say, hey, I'm worth it. I'm worth this to myself, and I deserve it. It was rebelling against all those people who were telling me I shouldn't, I couldn't, I can't, and throwing it in their face and going back to school and owning it.
So what do you think about that as his motivation is? It's his way of saying, I'm worth something and I'm worth spending the money on me, no one else.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Sad, right?
Yeah. Twisted.
It does sound like maybe he could have avoided all of these surgeries if he had a good psychiatrist.
Right.
Now, he believes that we are all misreading his mental state.
I've definitely been on TV shows where we've had professionals try to diagnose me as having mental illness. I find it funny because those professionals have never seen me outside of the studio or off of the stage. So for them to give a diagnosis is a bit silly. If I choose to express my creativity through my plastic surgery, it's no different than someone in fashion who deals with trends. I mean, standards of beauty change, ideals of beauty change. I don't understand why people think you have to be committed to the human form and that you shouldn't be able to retain control to change it.
See, Kevin, you're just hung up on human beings looking like human beings, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's so 20th century.
But isn't the way he wants to look basically just a guy who really works out and is in great shape and looks good?
I mean,
but he doesn't want to work out?
I think that's reasonable to say. He makes it sound like it's just a big art project, that he's just trying to change the human form. Here's something else he says we're wrong about.
The most popular misconception of me is that I'm narcissistic, that I'm stuck up, that I think I'm perfect. And I think that if people come up and talk to me for 5 minutes, I think they'll all find that those things are not true at all. I'm really like interested in changing the human form and possibly altering people's thoughts of what beauty is. I find it a cool medium to be able to create with.
By the way, he's much more articulate and more together and more self-aware than I expected him to be. When I just saw the video about him, I had a misconception, I think, of what he was going to sound like. I'm kind of impressed with the way he sounds as a person.
But he says people think that he thinks he's perfect. I think it's just the opposite. He's got real issues with how he looks, and he's going to change it with 180 different procedures.
Right.
I think he's thinking that people will look at him and go, oh, because your body looks so good, you must think you're better than I am. And he's trying to dispel that. He's saying that's not the case. You guys think he's close to being done?
Well, I mean, what's left?
I can't see myself stopping because it's not coming from a place where I feel like I look bad. It's like I genuinely know I look good, and the more surgery I have, I'll probably become more of an oddity to society. But I kind of bask in the fact that I won't be like everybody else, and everybody else will know that I've customized myself so far. It's really kind of cool for me to not adhere to the norm and be a nonconformist, and that's really kind of what I think all of this is really asserting yourself as a rebel, if you will.
You know what he's going to end up being? He's going to end up being that crazy lady who got plastic surgery to make her face look like a cat.
Crazy cat lady.
Yep. He's going to end up being a walking freak show. Because if you look, if you saw him walking down the street, you would think, wow, that guy's face is pulled pretty tight. But he doesn't look like a freak show until you see him with his shirt off and you realize that he's all plastic. You know what I mean? He still looks relatively normal. But it sounds like he's never going to stop, and he is going to end up being a very crazy-looking person by the time it's all over, doesn't it?
I support him. I think
he hasn't said a word about shaving his junk off, by the way. If you're really going for the human Ken doll, shouldn't you be all smooth down there?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Did he do that?
He hasn't yet. Yeah, or at least he hasn't talked about it. Maybe that's where I'll wake up and go, what am I doing?
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
One of the funniest people on the planet, one of our favorite guests of all time, Jay Mohr, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Have we seen Jay Mohr yet? Is he here? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. We're hoping Jay Mohr joins us coming up right after the top of the hour on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. We know that for a fact. Time for the showbiz beat on a Monday.
Taylor Swift,
Devil,
and her fans are the worst people in the world.
Correct.
So says Diplo. Maybe you saw this story or not, but Diplo made the huge, horrific error of making a joke about Taylor Swift on Twitter
in
November of last year, where he tweeted, someone should buy Taylor Swift a booty. I believe that's what it was. Said she got a flat butt.
She does.
Well, Kevin. No, you didn't. Kevin didn't mean that. Please have mercy. No, have mercy on him.
But I'm saying she doesn't?
Well, this is what happened to Diplo's life after he made that.
Okay.
He said, Taylor Swift fans are really crazy. They threatened to murder me and stuff. It's really bizarre and disgusting. They're the worst people in the world.
I was not aware that he got my tweet.
He says regarding her, she has 40 million Twitter fans. 40 million. It's crazy. Her powers. She's big. She's strong, bro. Okay. Taylor Swift is very strategic with her friends and enemies. And I know lots of secrets I can't divulge, but I know a lot of stuff about her. And there's definitely scary stuff going on. And I'm scared. I'm scared for my life.
What?
She is Hitler. That's what I'm telling you, people. No one wants to listen.
What? He's not really scared.
Yes, he's scared for his life.
What do you think he's talking about with the secrets?
He can't say. He'll be dead.
Is that the first rule of talking about Taylor Swift? You don't talk about Taylor Swift?
He said he's had, he's made fun of other people before, like Lady Gaga. But he said the gays came after him, but at least they were funny. He said, these people are scary. They wished Down syndrome on my children.
What?
Dude.
These are the Swifties.
Look, they have
don't
to fire
look.
That. They
don't
have
give
to
me your look.
This I'm not the, defending.
These
I'm
are
not,
this is the truth. I, these are facts.
I'm not defending you. These people at all. But I'm saying this is much bigger than it happens to be the Taylor Swift fan base this time. But this is internet trolldom. This is the same people who comment on anything that's they're against.
Nope, it's Taylor
on
Swift.
The internet. It's Taylor just Swift. This is what people do.
They have Swift. To fire that off before they go to seventh grade.
Taylor Swift
for the third time.
And her people are the worst people in the world.
I think I back that.
I think so too.
Back that.
I'm going to get a pillow. I'm going to have that embroidered on it.
I'll show people.
That's right. That's how I
think
roll.
I think you should tweet about it, Ralph. That's what I think.
Let's tweet out some S about Taylor Swift and see if we can get the troll machine operating.
I'm going to tweet out.
Devil's troll
Taylor
machine.
Taylor Swift is the worst person in the world. I'm going to tweet that.
All right.
And then let's see what kind of traction we get. Let's see what kind of reaction we get.
All right. Well, now, Kevin, weren't you in the Bieber, the Beliebers crosshairs for a minute?
Yeah, for a while, yeah.
And what kind of tweets were you getting from them?
It's the same stuff. Stupid threats that where you go, okay, listen, you're 11. You're not going to kill me, so let's move on.
You know, it strikes me that Taylor Swift fans just got to hate. That's what it sounds like to me.
Good point.
How ironic. How ironic. Isn't it ironic? It's like a black fly in your Chardonnay, I think. Not sure how that's ironic.
And the terrorist situation.
Yes, how about the terrorist situation?
Don't forget
Kevin's
that.
Kevin's absolutely right. Once again, the voice of reason. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. American Sniper, $64.4 million in its second week.
Hold on a sec. Do you mean let's take a look at the weekend box office?
What did I say?
Celebrity birthdays.
Oh, did I really?
All right.
Yeah. I meant box office. American Sniper, $6.4 million in its second week. A lot of controversy about this film, too. A lot of people picking sides. People
look,
upset.
It's tough to make any movie about a real-life event and make it a good movie and get all of the facts 100% correct. You have to condense things. You have to combine things. You have to leave things out. Not everything from the book is going to be in the movie. It's just a fact of the business. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Boy Next Door. In its debut, the Jennifer Lawrence Lopez movie, rather, $15 million at number two. Paddington, The Wedding Singer, and Taken 3 were your top five. The Imitation Game, Strange Magic, the new animated film from Lucas, was seventh. Selma, Mordecai, the new Johnny Depp film, was ninth. And then Into the Woods, number 10. Today's celebrity birthday is Eddie Van Halen of Van Halen. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
And that guitar.
How great is that song?
Yeah.
Pretty strong.
Ease the seat back. Road so hot. Yeah.
Like it.
Shut up.
I don't know if we need
Shut
the
up.
Whole song,
Shut
but
up.
I like it.
Shut up.
Oh, you're telling Beanie shut up. Oh, I thought you were telling me to.
I'm telling Beanie shut up. Yeah. 60 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres. Why don't we play music like that on this station? Why don't we play a little more goddamn Van Halen, a little less banjo picking? Less Red Hot Chili Peppers, a little more Van Halen.
We gotta keep the airwaves clear for Owl City. Come on, Ralph.
Ellen DeGeneres is 57 years old today. Hockey's Wayne Gretzky is 54. So you don't confuse him with restaurateur Wayne Gretzky.
It's strange.
Sarah Rue, the actress, lovely and talented, is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jay Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us in studio, comedian, actor, sports radio personality, noon till 3 on AM 570.
That is phenomenal. That is great. I have a radio show. I am here for my weekly hit on Kevin and Bean.
No,
that's great. That
you guys,
does not
you guys
suck.
Are the best.
You guys
are pros.
The best. Look at Kyle. Look at my crew. Look at my crew. What are you talking about? Of course I get stressed out. If you listen to the show, my callers make me crazy. This is great. Kevin and Bean, both at once. You guys are a duo.
I used to love it when you filled in for Rome, Jay. It was so
great. It is great. Fired up for my weekly hit. I do tweet it out at Jim Rome. I do tweet it out that I will be making my weekly hit on Kevin and Bean. That is great. These guys know how to grind to get it. They were born with it and grind to get it.
All right.
Busy with the social media. I will tweet out my weekly Kevin and Bean hit. It will be great.
Jay is also going to be at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks this Friday night at 9. Yes, Jay.
Borderline. Jay Moore.
That's right.
He's great. Thousand Oaks.
He was saying, why do you interrupt him to say the same thing?
I don't know what I'm doing. I was in Syracuse yesterday. I'm fried. I need some Bombay, go to Javier's. That's great. Look at Kevin. Uncomfortable. This is classic.
I love it.
This is classic. This does not suck.
Jay, you mock.
It's a high bean. No, that, why is an impression mocking?
Because it is.
When I do Chris
Walken. Because you're hyper-exaggerating how Jim Rome sounds.
Yeah,
but you're actually a fan of his.
Christopher Walken says, yowie, wow, wow. Now, you're not going to say, why are you mocking Christopher Walken?
Yeah,
no, you're right. Everybody gets pregnant. Hey, why are you mocking Tracy Morgan?
No, you're right.
Andrew Cuomo, what do you want, a budget?
I guess it's just that I feel like Jim Rome is a real person who is likely listening.
They're all real people. They're all real human beings. An impression is an exaggeration.
We're never going to intersect with Christopher Walken in our lives, though. We talk to Jim Rome every Thursday.
You don't know that. maybe you can get Chris Dubs on Friday. That would be great.
Jay, what have you been up to, man? We haven't seen you in too long.
The show you were just about to mention that I stepped all over. It's
Borderline Bar and Grill, Thousand Oaks, this Friday night, 9 o'clock. Tickets are only $25, available at borderlinebarandgrill.com. That sounds like fun.
Is that a comedy
room? No, it's a bar, a country bar. jaymoore.com. What happens is I made the show 9 o'clock because people, on a Friday, it's hard to like get up to 101 and do 9 o'clock show so you can get a babysitter, eat, and then get a little hammered, and then come into the show at 9
o'clock. And go line dancing.
Line that.
Is that what you're doing?
Take your partner, too. I don't even know how to do it. It seems a little simple. But up there, I've never drawn well in Thousand Oaks. Very strange. When I did the Corolla podcast live at Canyon Club, I was like, oh, this is what it looks like full. Wow. This is cool. This is like when Pat Benatar is here, what it looks like.
Why do you suppose there makes any kind of difference in geography in Southern California? You're popular everywhere, I would think.
Orange County, crazy popular. North of, Topanga Canyon, not so hot.
So Woodland Hills North, not
Woodland
so, not
Hills,
so good.
101 North. Yeah, we're trying. Thousand Oaks, let's do it. And, you know, if it works, we'll do it again. And if not, then it's all done. But either way, I'm going to go, and I'm going to have a great time. And I got a whole bunch of new material.
You do.
And I want to talk about the Barefoot Contessa because people always tweet me, how bad could that be? Every time I do, like, one sentence, don't tell Jeffrey. Like, a day will go by and just somebody will tweet me, don't tell Jeffrey. How bad could that be?
Jay.
Yes, sir. Bean.
I keep saying it's been so long since we've seen you. What have you been doing? Just super busy with the family and the radio show? Is that it?
Doing the podcast. More Stories podcast. Nick DiPaolo was just on. He's got a new album out. John DiMaggio, my favorite guest of all time. The voice of Bender the Robot on Futurama and Jake the Dog in Adventure Time. And he's
Jeff
the guy.
Drew Bledsoe on?
Excuse me? He was on the radio show.
Oh, on the radio
show. Podcast, More Stories, has an app on your phone.
I have that.
Get it.
I'm subscribed.
And if you want to know what it was like 20 years ago when I was smoking pot and doing mushrooms on my couch in Manhattan playing Madden, if you listen to any of the episodes of me and John DiMaggio, you are placed exactly. Look at Chip nodding her head. Yeah, like yep. Definitely. It's exactly that. It's fun. Yeah, radio, kids, stand up, and podcast. That's it. That's it.
Guy. What'd you do over the holidays?
Suicide. Just
what'd you do over the holidays?
Swords. Over the holidays. Well, we muddled through somehow, as the song goes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, gang. All right. What are you?
Rough holidays?
Is it that bad that Bean is in another location going, hey, Jay, how, you know, I know it's almost February. How was your holidays? All right.
Well, we haven't seen you. We missed you. I'm just trying to get caught up.
Like you would with a friend.
Hey, Bean, any wacky antics ever happen on set? I bet you guys play a lot of pranks on each other. That must be great.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw this.
Does not suck.
But at Acoustic Christmas, Bean fell off the stage.
What?
Yes.
That's how Curtis Mayfield got paralyzed.
He fell backwards.
Believe me, I'm very aware of that.
He did. It was awesome.
I'm your lover. I'm your pusher.
He got taken off in a stretcher.
Bean.
Yes.
You're like a tall, lanky. You know what you are? You're Judge Reinhold in Fast Times at Ridgemont High all the time.
Yeah.
Except when I'm falling backwards onto concrete.
I bet you saw Phoebe Cates' boobs on your way out. Yeah, I like Phoebe Cates. She gave up show business to make love to Kevin Kline and make his babies.
You'll enjoy
what
the
video. What did you see?
You'll enjoy the video of that. What I saw was, really honestly, and I don't want to bore our listeners who have heard this before, but just so you know, when you're falling backwards and you're not even aware that you're near the edge of a stage and you have no idea what you're going to land on, you just have a few seconds in the air on the way down, S gets real, real fast, man. You are aware of it, and you are just braced for impact, wondering what's going to happen. How far down is this hole? What am I going to die when I hit the ground?
So time is a theory, like Einstein's.
Time is a flat circle, man. That's what it is.
Time's a flat circle, Coyote. I got
it
buddy.
It is
All right.
It's terrifying, but knock on wood, and I'm hitting my head right now with my fist. It is. I'm the luckiest son of a bitch in the world, man.
How far down?
Paralyzed or dead.
How far did he fall?
About 5 feet.
5 feet.
Yeah, right on the concrete, landed on my tailbone. Yeah.
Anytime I've fallen in the dark like that, masturbate immediately and violently. Also during
that
shark.
That makes everything better?
Well, yeah. And if you've ever, like, you know, I surf, I get out there in the Malibu Ocean, you know, and if there's ever sharks nearby, just start baiting it. I mean, hard.
Why is that?
That seems like bad advice.
It does nothing to deter a shark attack at all.
But that's the way you want to go?
I'm going to write a manual, survival kit, because that seems big, like on the Nat Geo channel, like
right,
some guy with purple ink all over him running through the woods, like, hey, I'm crazy man Magooba guy. Once I get out of my shelter, I'm going to skin this deer with my incisors, and then we're going to make some taffy. Ah, la, la. Ah, la. Adam Sandler starts as the man in the woods. Ah, la, ba, da, ba, doo. Well, I don't know how to really survive. Like, okay, you're hiking,
yes.
Right, Bean?
Or sure,
Kelly's
okay.
Probably more likely to go on a hike.
Right.
The wife says, hey, let's go on a hike, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, boom, bit by a rattlesnake. You're wearing regular running shoes. You got to wear boots when you hike to prevent from snake bite, right?
Okay.
You do. You got to wear, like, hiking boots.
Okay. When do you furiously masturbate? After you get bit by the rattlesnake?
The moment you go, oh, my God, that's a snake bite, just drop on your back on the trail and just start punching your clown as fast. And, like, enjoy, like, again. This does nothing to alleviate the symptom.
So then why do it? It just distracts you?
You are – listen to what you're – you got – you've changed, man.
I'm just saying.
Listen to what you're asking me. You're about
That's
to maybe have an ejaculate. I don't want to say anything to get you in trouble.
Right.
Thank you.
Because last time I said that word, you
You've
had to dump
lie,
out.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
Don't say that word.
I have to dump about every time you're here.
You're about
At least
to – I'll be Russell Brand. You're about to have a beautiful white ribbon of a fibula float across a trail. And you're asking me, why would you do that? Why would you have that exact feeling? Why would you enjoy yourself as the white fibula flows across a rattlesnake's bottom?
Right.
And you say, oh, my gosh, one on earth, two on earth, beating is one, seeing the heavens right as it comes out at the same time. The euphoric feeling of the volcano erupting, and Kevin actually said, why would you do that?
But I'm saying you
What's
just...
What's wrong with you, mate?
You just got bit by a snake. I'm not sure that's
the snake bite's irrelevant at that point. Now you're enjoying yourself.
All right, I got you.
As the sugar cube sang, why postpone joy?
All right. We have to take a break. Darling. The great Russell Brand is here on the Kevin Abid Show.
That's a haunted man that fell off the stage.
You can see him along with Jay Moore at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. Let's show up for Jay Moore in Thousand Oaks. Let's make this a thing. Doors open at 7. Showtime is at 9 o'clock. You can go to jaymoore.com or borderlinebarandgrill.com. Just $25 to see the man. Come on, for God's sakes. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Our friend Jay Moore is technology challenged, but he is here this morning on the Kevin Abid Show. You can see him in Thousand Oaks at the Borderline Bar and Grill this Friday night, January 30th. Tickets available through jaymoore.com or borderlinebarandgrill.com. Just $25. Jay, you're worth more than that, dude.
Borderline.
Seriously. Hey,
Really want your stand-up career 29 years after you first took a mic. If you want the words bar and grill. After, like, casino, you know, resort, theater. Yeah. Like, hey, Cincinnati played the Taft Theater.
Right. That's what you
want. San Antonio, the Majestic Empire Theater.
Right.
And now, this Friday, the 30th, 9 o'clock, I'm at Borderline Bar and Grill
Theater. It's practically the Sportsman's Lodge, Jay, is what it is. Hey, I know what I wanted to ask you. Since the last time we saw you, your friend Bono got into an accident.
That was after the ceiling came off of my airplane.
That's right. I forgot he lost his luggage over Germany, too. I forgot.
You know, just last year, 40 million African people were put into jails for crimes they didn't commit. You're in the upper deck with your buddy going, bro, I just had 4 mushroom caps. Who said jail? What does Bono do? Bono wants to put us in jail and put bugs in our eyes in Africa. You know the difference between God and Bono? God doesn't walk around Dublin pretending he's Bono.
Hey-o!
And his name, by the way, his name is Paul.
It
his
is Paul.
Name, Sting's name is like Andrew or something.
It's Gordon.
Right. Gordon. From Sesame Street.
He was right on that.
Andrew Gordon. Same bald black guy name to me.
A lot of people have stage names, though. A lot of people do.
Okay, but The Edge, Sting. From now on, call me Eagle. I mean, these are grown-ups.
Yeah.
Well, I'm relatively the same age as Bono Vox. I just want to walk on stage on Borderline Bar and Grill. That's great. JJ doing the bar and grill circuit. That does not suck at all. You know, it's the only reason I'm... have this ploy to even talk about Jim Rome at all, because I do listen to his show every day on The Beast. They devour sports. His next time he's on, everyone's only going to be thinking about me as well as him at the same time. And that will not suck at all.
We're going to start calling you the Eagle, though, but I think it's not too late for you to have a cool nickname, Jay. I like it.
Well, I almost swore. As opposed to Eagle? What's cooler than Eagle?
Eagle's awesome. No, I think you should be
never
Eagle.
Seen
Why
it?
Not?
Hey, you've never seen it on a menu, have you?
No.
I hate these animal rights people. Like, you shouldn't eat cows. What? I don't know if you've ever eaten a cow. It's kind of like I have teeth for it. It's perfect. It's delicious. And then I poop, and it's a system. It's like my own ecosystem with cows. You're supposed to eat cows. When was the last time you saw a wild cow? When was the last time you were hiking with your friends pre-snake bite and masturbation?
Right.
We slowed down the cruise. Oh my God! Look at all those wild cows. Like, they're only here to be eaten, right? Like a chicken God put here. Like, you go to eat the chicken. Chicken goes, later, ayo. And the chicken goes to fly away. And like 14 feet later, it lands and looks over its shoulder and goes, who are you? Really? Like, what? ¿Qué pasó, mijo? And
you're talking heresy to cow owner Bean, though.
Yeah, this hurts me a lot. I'm biting my tongue here, Jay Moore.
Well, look, cows don't look like delicious to me. Like, when I see a pig, like the Geico pig.
Yeah.
Like, when I see like a cartoon pig, or if I see like a real live pig on TV, I go, oh God! Like, my mouth waters.
Want a piece of that.
Yeah, but like, you've never been to a menu and they'd be like, have you tried our hawk? Because you can't catch a hawk. Stupid animal rights. People are crazy.
Jay Moore is on Fox Sports Radio weekdays at noon. You can see him at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks this Friday night. I'm sorry we had to cut this one short, Jay, but we have
what
more
did I
time
say?
When we return. No, we got to keep an eye on the clock.
Schlesinger was here a very long time.
Well, we kept her longer, to be honest.
We're keeping you too, and we're going to be right,
grill,
right back with Jay. Right after this on K-Rock. Does Jay Moore not get food at home? I've never seen a guy devour a sandwich like Jay just did.
Well,
he was in a hurry because we're going to go back on the air.
Yeah, it's a commercial break. Yeah. I'm here because I'm at the Borderline Bar and Grill.
Uh-huh. In Thousand Oaks Friday night.
I've decided,
correct,
being that this entire like theater, Indian casinos, you know, the Irvine, the improvs, you know, it's given me a very good life for a very long time.
Sure.
You know, like when bands go acoustic?
Right.
I'm only doing the bar and grill
You're doing a bar and grill
tour? You're turning
tour?
Your back on the easy money is what you're doing.
Yeah, I want to make less money in weird play. If there's sawdust and line dancing, I'm coming to you.
Okay.
Jay
like
Moore,
it.
Borderline, Bar and Grill, Friday, January 30th. Don't forget, Blake Shelton still likes to drink.
Go to jaymoore.com or Borderline Bar and Grill. The show is going to be this Friday night. Jay says he doesn't do well in Thousand Oaks. We would like to prove him wrong. Make sure to show up for that show. Hey, Jay, I have a question for you. As a, I don't think I would enjoy being a sports radio host full-time, a three-hour. I like talking about sports when we do, and then we move on and do other things. And I know you do a lot of other things on your show as well. But you can't get away from this Deflategate. There's no way to do
well,
your
job.
You
know what
job.
I did? What do you I do? Did Friday. I opened the show by saying, I will not talk about it, and I will not mention it, reference it. And if you mention it on a call or an email, you're either getting blocked or I'll hang up on you immediately. And that was the day that the NBA All-Star rosters came out, mm-hmm. and Kobe's. We realized
got hurt again. Yeah,
he was going to be out for the season. Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers was out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb. So there's lots to talk about. Like, it's so stupid. Every quarterback likes the footballs the way they like the football.
I didn't
period.
Even know that period. That was the system. I didn't know that they gave the quarterbacks the
it's
footballs.
It's so routine. And then it's not even a system. It's just
so you
like,
don't think this is a story, a scandal? You think this is nothing?
No, it is a scandal because it's Spygate. If this was like a one-off, I'd be like, you got to just stop talking about this, referees and national media. This is nothing. But if you get caught spying on another team like the Patriots did, and Bill Belichick, the coach, had to write a $500,000 check. The team had their separate fine. But a guy, the coach, because they would spy on the other team's defensive hand signals that they made on the sidelines and then figure out what play that was, and then they studied them, and next time they played, they go home, put out your checkbook, and write $500,000 in that little rectangle provided. You're going to run out of room.
Yeah.
You're used to writing like 500. You'd be like 500, comma. Well, I got to make these other ones tiny. Zero, itty bitty zero, then dot, then barely. Then it looks like three periods at the end because you run out of room.
So what you're saying is this isn't a big deal, but it's like a guy's on probation. Yeah, a guy's on probation, so he does a minor infraction. But it becomes a major infraction because he's on probation. That's what you're saying. If this same thing had happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no one would care.
Right. And if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had said from the very start, like, everybody's, that's how we like our footballs. If it's better grip, that's why we don't fumble. I don't know if you know this about the Patriots. They don't fumble.
I saw that. Ever.
It's because there's some give to the ball. So, like, if you jam your hand, if you're, like, a defensive back and you jam your hand up between the guy where the football is pinned to his chest, there's, like, some smush. There's a little give there, where it's, like, a fully inflated 13 pounds per square inch. Nerds! That ball will pop right out in the cold. But every team does it. Everybody does it. It's like everyone plays wiffle ball. You take the wiffle ball out of the box. What's the first thing you do? You just scrape it on the driveway so you got a little grip on it.
Yeah.
That's no. The guy you're playing with doesn't go, what are you doing? Because he's going to play with the same football.
So you think this is a non-story? It's a non-story.
No, it's a huge story because they got caught cheating. And if you had to cut a $500,000 check for spying, and people already say Spygate, and people already say, you know, they never won a Super Bowl after Spygate, and all
that's
the Super
true.
Bowls they did win were by 3 points. You might want to lay a little low. Get yourself a safe house. Bill Belichick, I do believe you were spying on a man.
So the NFL knows that every team does this to the balls and didn't care until now?
I think it's just assumed that you get the football the way you like it. And there's a little give or take. Like, you can't, like, put stickers on it, or, like, you can't, you know, rub Vaseline when the other team has it. Sounds hot.
So
but it's just a
is
little.
Is this just Patriots hate, then?
No. It's the Patriots getting caught doing something that's against the rules. And
again.
People. And then so you realize, oh, this is also the team that did that enormous. People go like, what's the big deal? You're spying on a team. And I'm sure probably everyone does it. But all I know is when the head coach writes a check
for
$500,000, that is a big whack.
So what do you think should happen to the Patriots for this?
They better lose the Super Bowl because I don't want to talk about them winning because of which way, it's all speculative right now. That's why I hate talking about it. because we don't know. We know they did it, and we don't know the benefits. And people go like, well, you know, how do you get the air out of the bowl? Who knew? Well, you wanted a code red. You know, nobody knows. But I tell you one thing. The Seahawks better win by like 30 like they did last year so we can just go, ah,
so we can move on.
New England, Patriots. Tom Brady. God, what's his next wish? Super Bowl MVP, goes home, lays down on top of Giselle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a pretty good gig. He sure is handsome, though, isn't he, Jay?
Gorgeous. Ugg boots, and he gets a pass. If you're going to marry a lady, like guys go like, oh, he's got that hot Russian wife. Well, that's not really that great because if I got to meet her family, I got to go to Russia. Like Tom Brady, Giselle goes like, listen, I don't do a Brazilian impression, so I'll be Dominican. Listen, mira, papi, Tommy, ven acá, it's time for you to meet my family. And then he's in Brazil. You know what I mean? It's not, and it's not like he's in the poor part.
No, that's a good deal. That's a super good deal.
People are peeing in the streets and, you know, raising, like, chickens and stuff, like Bean.
Yeah, he is charmed.
Bean, how are your horses?
I don't have any horses, Jay.
You just told me you had a horse. Kevin just told me.
I never said I had a horse. I've never had a horse in my life.
Excuse me, you're a cow. Kevin said you had a cow.
I used to have cows. They're all gone now. I'm sorry to say. They passed on.
Your cows died?
They were old.
How old?
They don't know. One of them was 24.
Is that old for a cow?
That's like Marshawn Lynch is 24. What do you?
yeah, that's old for a cow. Yeah, especially since most cows get killed at 18 months. Yeah, 24 is pretty good life. What, you're all right, Jay?
Yeah, I just never thought I'd hear Kevin go. 24 old for a cow. Didn't seem old. I'll be honest with you. All right, yeah, you have like a little farmish area, right?
Got some land.
I bet you got pay. Hey, Bean.
Yes, Norm.
Hey, Norm McDonald. How are you guys doing there?
We're good. Good to see you, sir.
Thousand Oaks Bar and Grill, that borderline. Hey, Bean. I bet if you had if you had that farm there, you probably had a sow.
I had four pigs. Yeah, I did. Two girls and two boys. Sow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you mix and match there. Four pigs. That's what Bean had. How are your pigs, Bean?
They have also passed on. They got old, too.
Oh, my God.
They got old, too. They have.
All right. Well, you probably have other animals up there.
Well, I had sheep and goats, but they're
goats and sheep. Those are great, you know?
They're gone, too.
I'm starting to think, Bean. Hey, Bean.
Yes, Norm.
I'm starting to think you're not a farmer at all.
Right, they just aged out, Norm. That's all. They just got old, like your dog does.
Yeah, Bean says aged out. Hey, what? Sorry about what happened to your mom over the holidays. Hey, don't worry about it. She was 59. She aged out. It's all right though. I got a place without my mom in downtown there.
Yes.
Norm. I don't even think about my aged out mom unless I go to the place where she aged out.
All right. First of all, my mom was 62 when she aged out. But thank you for bringing up a painful memory,
when
Jay.
FDR, you know, during we're right in the middle of World War II, Bean, you know.
Right.
Bean, are you still there?
I'm right here, Norm, but we do have to go. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
A month into World War II, aged out.
Yes.
And then Truman said, oh, my God, that guy aged out. Now I got to be the president, you know. And then eventually he aged out, you know.
I think he lived to about 1972, though.
That Nixon fella there?
Right, he died.
He aged out.
We got to go, but I want to hear you on the History Channel. I think that's an awesome idea. I think we should totally make that happen. Your friend Jay Moore is going to be at the Borderline Bar and Grill.
His career is aged out.
It's in Thousand Oaks. All the best comedy shows happen at a bar and grill, as you know, this Friday night. Doors open at 7, showtime 9 o'clock. Go to jmoore.com or Borderline Bar and Grill, just $25. Jay, we love you, man.
Don't tell Jeffrey.
We'll be listening to you this afternoon at noon on AM 570. Talk to you soon.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
It is Monday morning here on K-Rock. Our friend Ralph Garman steps in with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
Hello, lady.
You want your mic on?
Yeah, I know. I'm crazy that way.
That's my bad.
That was your bad.
I'll take
the other people who control the microphones?
I'll take credit for that one.
Well, it's because you're the guy who turns on the microphones.
Jay was on that one, so then...
But I'm here in front of this one.
And you're always on that one, yeah.
Always.
So that's mine. That's on
that. That's on you.
Yeah, that's on
you. Oh, as opposed to the other people we thought might have been at fault.
I'll take blame for that one.
What were we talking about?
Just showbiz, that's all. What's going on?
Well, I know this much. Not only are Taylor Swift fans the worst people in the world.
Yes.
They're also the laziest. I can't get a nibble.
What?
I've put up pictures of Taylor Swift as Adolf Hitler, giving the Nazi salute. I've said the fans are the worst people in the world. I'm really putting the bait out there in the Twitter sphere, and I'm not getting a nibble. Slow fishing day for the trolls.
Well, that's a shame. I thought it was easier to troll.
I thought so, too. Imagine my disappointment.
Huh.
Turns out her fans really are the worst people in the world.
Mm.
A lot of people saying Bean is Exhibit A. To that fact.
As the worst people in the world?
Yeah, that Swift fans are the worst people in the world. In fact, Brad Williams was the one who tweeted that.
Exhibit
A, Bean.
Here's what I'll say about that. There's no question I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I feel like I am objective about her, and there are things that she does that I disapprove of and criticize her for. There are other things that that she does that I think are great. I think I have a reasonable relationship with her.
You think your relationship with Taylor Swift is reasonable?
I'm saying as a fan. I don't think I'm a crazy diehard. Anyone who says anything bad about her should go to hell. And I also, you know, I don't blindly defend her or blindly hate her. I think I'm objective about it.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, I know you think that.
You're not at all.
Not at all.
Very subjective.
It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. American Sniper, once again, coming in at number one with $64.4 million in its second week. All that money, they couldn't buy a baby. It's sad. Boy Next Door, in its debut, did well, $15 million. Of course, Jennifer Lopez starring in that. Paddington was third. The Wedding Ringer was fourth. Taken 3 turned out to be number 5 this weekend. The Imitation Game was 6th. Then Strange Magic, Selma, Mordecai, and Into the Woods were the top 10 movies at the box office. A lot of great films on that list. I was surprised that The Boy Next Door in its debut could even make it into that list. You know, Jennifer Lopez stars in the thriller, and it was not only on the list, but number 2 at $15 million.
And isn't she still doing the American Idol thing, too?
Don't help. He's not helping. He's getting in the way. There's a ton of great movies out there, and yet somehow it managed to make its way onto the list. And I was thinking about that. I was like trying to think, how, with all the movies that are at the box office, all the movies that are in theaters, how does Jennifer Lopez's film, The Boy Next Door, in its debut, end up at number 1 on the list? And that's when it dawned on me. There's always room for J-Lo.
Yeah.
That's right. What did her do in American Idol have to do with my setup? What was going on? What was that?
I thought you were going for how busy she is and how does she have time to make movies.
No, that was your version of it. That was your joke that you were doing.
That was anticipatory. I apologize. Yours was better. I should leave the comedy to the professionals.
Or whatever that was.
Tom Petty. We don't have time for that here. Damn. All right, we'll do it the next time.
All right.
Tom Petty and Sam Smith fighting it out.
I was surprised by how this turned out.
Yeah, me too.
Really bizarre.
We'll talk about that in the next show, Biz. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sarah Rue is 36 years old today.
What was that show that she was on a few years ago that she was briefly famous? Ralph, do you remember?
I really liked that show, and now I cannot remember the name of it.
Lisa, you watch
Eric
everything.
Eric Roberts was also on it.
And I liked it, too, and I don't remember
Almost
the
Perfect.
Name.
Nothing. Almost not perfect. I'm not quite perfect.
Here we go. Less Than Perfect Less than was perfect the name of that. Well done.
Yeah. I really liked her work on that show, and I enjoyed that sitcom a lot. You know who else got his break on that? Was Zachary Levi.
No kidding.
That was one of his first starring roles. It was on that sitcom. She's 36 years old today. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, 54 years old. Ellen DeGeneres turns 57 years old today. And speaking of great ones, Eddie Van Halen.
Are we just sitting back and enjoying this? Is that what we're doing?
Ralph's banging his head.
We were, until you started talking. Go! Ooh. Yeah, so we just needed that part right there.
Oh, yeah!
Eddie's 60 years old today. Still shreds. Ralph Garmuth. Now I'm done.
Cesar Marta from Paramount. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here today. You are qualified to go see U2 in Barcelona, Spain. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 3. So happy to think that U2 is going to be performing again. We came very close to losing that band, you know. And don't forget, U2 has also added a 5th Southern California show, June 3rd at the Forum. So that is new information. Get the details on all of that at krock.com. Your chance to win coming up at noon, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock today, too.
What's happening with your infestation?
What's happening with the mice take over the Beans house?
We talked last week about how I like to think there's just one really cute little mouse.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You are convinced it's a horde of 100 rats.
Bean has mice pooping everywhere. Bean has mice.
Bean thinks that it's a pet.
I do. I like to think it's Ratatouille is all we're dealing with mm-hmm. here instead of the Black Plague. But last week, just very briefly, last week I talked about how I had tried three different kinds of traps, including a regular mouse trap, including the zapper, including a different kind that they walk in and get caught. No progress with that. Tried a whole bunch of different kinds of bait. I tried dog food. I tried cat food. I tried peanut butter. I tried candy. I tried maple syrup.
Here's the weird thing about that whole thing, though,
yeah.
is that when you say that you have rats, which it is, by the way, and multiple, many,
just
many,
one really many, super, many, super cute mouse, probably in a
rats.
Cardigan sweater.
And they're chewing through your wires.
Yes,
and
they took out my Netflix. That's when it got serious.
Yeah. People will call with every single thing that works against rats, and none of it works. I don't know why, but people go, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a high-pitched sound. You plug
right,
into the wall.
Right.
Oh, right, here's a trap. It just closes behind them, and then you can just release them.
Right. Well, here's what I found
None
out,
None of it
Kevin.
Works.
Here's what I found out. I was very frustrated by this. Obviously, my first choice, and people will call and say, hey, how about poison? As I said, I didn't want to do poison because I hear that is cruel and a terrible way for a rat to die. So my goal was to catch it and release it. That's what I would like to do. I don't have any animosity against this rat, except I don't think we need
you
to
will.
Share a living space.
Oh, you will.
Well, here's what happened is I did eventually break down and call a professional. I had an exterminator come out on Friday. And he came in and took one look at the evidence, if you will, and he said, first of all, it's not a mouse. Second of all, it's not one. All right, so that's what he said to me. So I said, what do I do? So we went back and forth on all the things that I've tried and all the things that I did and didn't want to do. And he said, look, he said, you got to do the best thing that works. The only thing that works in some situations is the glue trap. Now, Lisa and I talked about the glue trap last week, and I was adamantly against the glue trap. I don't know how – here's part of my concern about the glue trap. And the glue trap, for folks who don't know, is like flypaper. Is they step on it on their way to something, perhaps to bait or to get out of the wall or whatever, and then they get stuck on it. How do they die as a result of being on the glue trap? That's something I don't know. Do their little hearts explode because they're so furiously trying to get off the paper?
I don't know.
They chew their own leg off and then bleed to death? I mean, everything sounds horrible to me. The glue trap sounds like a horrible way to go. So I agreed to the guy that we would put the glue trap.
I like that you went from, this is a terrible option, let's do it.
Because part two of that is then my wife and I went on 24-hour duty to monitor the glue trap. And as soon as the rat got caught on it, we had a plan that we were going to put olive oil on his little feet so he could be removed and wrap him up in a fluffy towel and then take him outside and release him. So the plan was we catch the rat and then we let him go because now we got him.
Hold on, genius. You understand that you're going to take that rat outside. It's going to come right back inside, right?
I believe that we have filled in the way he got into the house.
Yeah.
I think that option no longer exists for him to get in the house.
Right, because rats can't make new ones.
I'm with you so far.
Yep.
So the plan is we're going to, just like, get up to feed a baby, is we're going to set an alarm and we're going to have a system and it's your turn at 2 and it's my turn at 4 and it's your turn at 6 and it's my turn at 8. And we did that all night long on Friday night, all night long on Saturday night, all night long on Sunday night, no rat.
You're
no
stupid.
No evidence of a rat.
Wow.
You are not a smart person.
Why am I not a smart person? What else could I have done differently?
That's the trap he's supposed to do.
But you don't set your alarm for every 2 hours.
Well,
that's
because
absurd.
Because I didn't want him on the glue trap for 9 hours before I find him, and then he's dead.
I understand your good intentions.
If he's going to die, I want him to die instantly. I don't want him to be tortured before he dies.
Okay.
So
how'd that go?
Where's the rat or rats? Where are they? No evidence whatsoever. So he's not anywhere near where we thought he was. The exterminator said, look, where have you seen the most damage and the most evidence that the rat's right here in this area right here? So that's where we put down the glue traps. He says, you got to put the traps where the rats are. If this is where they're living, this is where you put the traps. They're not there anymore. Where are they? There's no evidence. They haven't chewed anything. They haven't pooped anywhere. Where are they? Did they find a way out?
No.
I don't know.
I'll tell you.
I'm in the middle of not knowing.
You're going to find out in about 2 days that they are in your engine. Because this happened to me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Of your car. And they are for the heat. And
right.
That they are chewing through all of the wires in your engine. At which point you will want them to die.
I have heard that that happens. That means they got out of the house somehow, though. How? I don't know. This thing
they
is
have
turned into
ways
a mystery.
To get out and get in. There's no mystery. They're rats.
I feel like the place is pretty is tight as a drum right now. I really do.
You're incredible.
It's unbelievable that these prehistoric creatures, these little rats, are outsmarting the humans that live in the house. That's what
the humans that live in that house are not very smart.
Maybe you're right about that. So right now, it's still
rats
a million.
Rats are terrible animals.
A million and bean zero is where we're at if you're keeping track. I know, dude. I know I'm doing everything I can to get rid of them. I don't want to coexist with rats. Look, I've had a lot of animals as pets. I've had other rodents as pets. I've had snakes. I've had hamsters. I've had all sorts of... I don't want a rat as a pet. That's not my goal here. I would like us to coexist peacefully.
There's no coexisting. Okay. There's rats or there's you. You pick.
Well, that's where I'm at right now. So far we can't find them, but the saga continues. We'll see what happens.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Got time for one more look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Garman here on K-Rock. What is the latest?
We need a new producer.
Need a new producer?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Dave?
I don't like that hipster.
He's a hipster?
He's not wearing the fingerless gloves again, is he?
I don't know what he's got going. Some ironic t-shirt and his freaking beard and his hipster hairdo. And
he's a hipster, isn't he?
He is.
Right under our nose.
I'm getting an ass full of hipsters, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's too many hipsters. Especially in commercials. They're in every commercial now. They're trying to sell me cell phones. T-Mobile is the worst. Like, hey, look at this guy with a beard and skinny jeans. Bye. And there's a lot of people running through colored chalk dust for some reason these days. A lot of hipsters like to run through chalk dust.
What is that about?
I don't know, but it's a hipster BS thing. I'm running through a cloud of red chalk dust. Blue chalk dust. Ooh, it's a color run. We're all colorful now. Get a job, hipsters.
But you went out and bought a turntable so you could get vinyl again,
no.
Right?
No. You know what it reminds me of?
Ass full of hipsters just added to Coachella,
by
the way.
In the 60s, like every corporate, like every soda company stuff, they would like put faux hippies in their commercials because it was like a thing. It's like, hey, here's some hippies trying to sell you a VW Beetle or some 7-Up or whatever. That's what it's like now. It's like the hipster phenomenon used as sales tool.
But when did Dave join them?
He's been a hipster for some time.
Has he?
He was hipster before he was popular, man.
Well, I will give Dave credit for being on the Clippers tip long before the rest of us decided we liked them.
The rest of us didn't decide we liked them.
Well, a lot of people did, by the way. No, I'm saying the Clippers are immensely popular now, but Dave liked them before they were cool. You got to give him credit for that.
Fingerless gloves. I rest.
He used to wear fingerless gloves.
He did. That's true.
Still does, doesn't he? No. I don't know. Something
but you're right about the ironic t-shirts. I mean, Dave does come in most days with a cat on his chest.
Look, it's a burrito.
Yeah.
He's a kid in wrapped in a...
Yeah. Yeah, you want to punch him, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Just saying. Let's make some moves. It's a new year.
Hipster Dave's got to go.
Hipster Dave's got to go.
Asshole.
It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. American Sniper, $64.4 million in its second week. Pretty strong.
How was that, Kevin?
It was really great.
It was loud.
And I got to tell you.
There's some louds. You know?
It really brings you face to face with the families of people that go over to war and what they go through and how hellish that must be. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Makes you really thankful that people do that.
The Boy
Absolutely.
The Boy Next Door, in its debut, made $15 million. Paddington, that's a movie that I love, $12.4 million, made it number three. The Wedding Ringer was fourth, and Taken 3 was fifth. Imitation Game was sixth. Strange Magic, in its debut, was seventh. Selma, Mordecai, and Into the Woods, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Don't worry, everyone relax. Richard Simmons is fine. I know you guys were worried about Richard Simmons.
I had not heard. What's going on with Mr. Simmons?
Well, rumors had been swirling that he was a victim of elder abuse.
What?
Yes, that some young man was keeping him locked up inside his house and abusing him.
Would you enjoy that?
Sources at the Los Angeles Police Department said they checked on Richard Simmons and he's fine. He's lucid, relaxed, and all is well. He's just been horribly depressed lately. Because he's nursing a knee injury and just wanted to spend some...
Oh, now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
Wanted to spend some time out of the public eye, so he's okay. Everyone relax. Richard Simmons is okay.
I don't...
I haven't heard any excitement over that story,
Ralph. I don't think anyone really cared. No one really noticed he was gone. Maybe he might have published this story himself, just let people know.
Did you miss me? Why haven't you missed me? I haven't been around. Well, you all have a wonderful morning, and I hope you listeners will get a sweat into the oldies three. Remember to take care of your health. Right. It's the only thing you have.
See, that's good advice, right?
Bye, Pete. Rest. Bye, Linda.
Bye, Pete and Linda. You know, Kevin, you were just saying the other day, I need more Shaquille O'Neal on my television. Well, congratulations.
I don't remember saying anything like that.
True TV has announced an upcoming comedy pilot, Shaq Inc. It's a half-hour comedy loosely based on Shaq's business empire.
Okay.
It will also showcase his latest batch of eccentric and often crazy business ideas. Oh, Shaq. You're so wacky.
Is anyone still interested in Shaq?
I don't know.
Like a time and place, didn't it?
I don't know. I think he's still a fairly effective salesperson.
Is he?
Nice and hot. Put nice and hot on your back. And you play basketball again. With nice and hot.
That sells me nothing. I don't know what he's saying.
Icy hot.
No, icy hot.
And then he runs through the chalk dust. He gets that chalk dust all over.
Look at me. I got chalk dust all over me now. I got the chalk dust.
But he was doing that before it was cool, though, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
What is the chalk dust about?
I don't know.
Okay. There's not enough of it, though. That's your complaint.
There's not enough chalk dust on the commercials on my television set. SAG Awards were given out last night. Congratulations to the cast of Birdman. They won for Best Cast in a Motion Picture. Best Actor in a Film was Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything as Stephen Hawking. Julianne Moore won the same for Female Actor for her work in Still Alice. J.K. Simmons won for Supporting Actor for Whiplash. And Patricia Arquette won for Best Supporting Actress for Boyhood. It doesn't seem like there's any chance that J.K. Simmons won't win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, right.
It seems to be the way. They also give out awards for television. Here's what won for TV. Best Cast in a Drama went to, where the hell is my list? There it is, Downton Abbey. Orange is the New Black won for Best Cast in a Comedy over Veep. That hurt me. That hurt me.
Yeah, that's absurd, only in that Orange is the New Black, not really a comedy at all.
Yeah, and the cast on Veep is unparalleled anywhere on television. I don't know any cast that is that deep and that great with that many great characters and that much great writing.
Yeah, and they don't waste any of them. That's the amazing thing.
Kevin Spacey won for Best Actor in a Dramatic Series for House of Cards. Viola Davis, How to Get Away with Murder, Best Actor, Female Actor in a Drama Series. William H. Macy won for Comedy for his work in Shameless. And Uzo Aduba won for Best Female Actor in a Comedy Series as Crazy Eyes Warren in Orange is the New Black. Do we have time for Tom Petty
and
Sam Smith?
Sure. Sure.
Battling it out. I don't know. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the smash hit Stay With Me from April of 2014. And here's a little taste.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see.
You're singing another song.
What are you suggesting, Ralph?
Some people suggest that it may sound a little like Tom Petty's classic 1989 song, I Won't Back Down.
Well, I won't back down.
Stay with me.
No,
stay with me.
Down.
Yes.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Well, some people might say, oh, it's not that. It's not that close. It doesn't resemble it that much. Sam Smith would beg to differ. Turns out Tom Petty's lawyer said, excuse me, Sam, that sounds an awful lot like a Tom Petty song. And he said, yeah, it's a fair cop. Here's a check. Apparently they settled out of court. And now,
that's rare.
Tom Petty and his co-writer from I Won't Back Down, Jeff Lynne of ELO fame, are now both credited writers on Stay With Me as well. They get a 12.5% writing credit.
How about that?
That is 12.5% of all the money made by that song for songwriting royalties will now go to Petty and Lynne. So congratulations to those guys.
I wonder if they settle out of court on something like that because they fear that they may lose even more of it if they go to court. In the case.
I think that's true. I think legal fees alone would probably be worth cutting them a piece of.
Right.
the songwriting royalties. And look, there's plenty to go around. That song has sold nearly 4 million copies worldwide, one of the most successful singles of 2014. So I just wonder if it wins Record of the Year or something at the Grammys.
Oh, interesting.
Can Tom Petty get up on stage?
Interesting.
Yeah, I won it. You mean it would. Today's celebrity birthday is Eddie Van Halen, is 60 years old today. Didn't quite have the oomph I was hoping for.
Yeah. Sorry.
Ellen DeGeneres is 57. Wayne Gretzky turns 54. And actress Sarah Rue turns 36
and
years old today. And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the show with me.
Kid president?
I'm not talking
about kid president.
I'm not doing kid president's birthday. Mention kid president's birthday.
It's time to think about your future, man. Some people think the future's going to be dark, like people crying, robots crying, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I think about the future a lot, and I believe it's going to be awesome. Has to be. It will be. Sure, there's bad things in the world, but there's also pizza.
See, how could you not like Kid President? He's so cute.
Kid President?
How old is he today, Ralph? Uh-oh.
Keyboard cat's playing you off.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show, The Bachelor Report.
Woo!
That's the thing that's on tonight. Is that 2 hours?
Yeah.
You have to watch that 2 hours?
Hell yeah, yeah, it is.
All right.
Get to watch is what you mean to say.
I wish it was three.
We also have John Mulaney on the program tomorrow. And we have Daniel Day Kim, who's directing an episode of Hawaii Five-0, who will be in the studio tomorrow as well. And you can continue to qualify for KROQ's World Tour 2015 destination number 3, which is U2 in Barcelona, Spain.